Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And it's going to be a big day for PFW Progress. You're going to get a little bonus
for some of us
today because John Rook is not here. He's not even in his basement. So we're going to kind of stay on, and PFW in Progress is going to be a big show today for the better part of 4 hours, I guess.
Be like real radio.
Yeah.
Most shows do 4 hours on real radio, so are we. We hit the big leagues.
Eric will be by later, but Paul's here, Andy's here, Kevin's in the booth. And we're still going to talk about the Bills a little bit if you want. I know the players have moved on to Oakland. We're going to be talking a lot about the Raiders and everything else that's on your mind, Patriots, at webradio@patriots.com. If you want to email us or call us at 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Well done.
Got all that in.
Does Rook know who Wally Pipp is?
I don't know why.
Maybe he goes away.
We're going
for a day
to replace him.
Oh, I see. No, we don't want that. We can't do that.
No.
It was a long night last night. The baseball season ended for Boston.
And Fred is giddy.
No, I mean, I was all I had. I could only laugh. I mean, I wanted the Red Sox to win, but that was the most bizarre occurrence.
You know, that's the normal reaction when you want your team to win and they lose in crushing fashion.
Just,
I could only laugh.
It was just so ridiculous. You had to laugh.
Well, some would argue they'd laugh so they wouldn't cry. I don't think Fred falls under that exactly.
No.
But so
screw the Sox. Let's talk
so
some football.
So we're down to football and hockey here in Boston. And that's the way it should be.
It was, but that baseball stuff last night was unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was.
To have the games come down like that, and you know, Andy and I were talking, it's almost like the movie just said, all right, what can we do to make sure we sync up these two games so they end at the same time? And
right.
There's an hour rain delay in the Red Sox.
And game. The other one goes to extra inning. It, just incredible. But Red Sox are done. Screw baseball. Let's talk some Patriots. And that's what we're going to do for the next 4 hours here. And then, of course, Pete will be in at 4 o'clock to do the Pete Shepherd Show. No B-Low today, though. I don't think there's going to be any fantasy.
There's no fantasy games
this week?
Oh, maybe
there is. I don't know. I don't know if B-Lo will be around. He's not going to be around.
B-Lo will not be around today.
Okay. What are fans going to do?
Well, the problem is...
Oh, Happy New Year to all our Jewish friends out there.
Yes, and that's what B-Lo is.
Oh, is that where he is? Yes. I thought he was like getting work done because we're leaving tomorrow for Oakland. No, he's taking the whole day off.
Yes.
Okay. He called in today.
Yeah. All right.
Our friend Matt LaPan.
Yeah.
He was talking to me in the locker room, and he's like, make sure you wish everybody who's Jewish a Happy New Year. So literally he finishes the sentence, and assistant PR director Aaron Salkin is 3 inches from me, walking very quickly toward me. So I just turn, Happy New Year. You would have thought I said the greatest thing in the world to Aaron. He was, thanks for that or something.
And then did he tell you a story about when he was the 49ers?
Oh,
you don't
no.
have to be Jewish to like Feldman's, but it helps.
He has good stories, but I just thought it was so funny. Like, I immediately just said it, and he was, like, so giddy that I remembered, and I didn't because Matt just told me to say it.
All right. All right. Well, webradiopatriots.com, 508-298-0398. You know, we were talking just before we got on the air. You know, Patriots issued their first injury report for this week, yesterday, and it's a pretty long list. And a lot of these guys have been on the list, you know, for a while now. And I'll point out a guy like Jerod Mayo. We think that, you know, his play might be a little down. We expect a little bit more out of him this year with this new alignment, new opportunities for him. Not you know, playing on that at the Sam rather than in the middle, but he hasn't really done what we thought. Yet he's showing up on these injuries, and are we not factoring in maybe some of these guys are hurt that are still on the field but may not be at 100% even this early in the season?
Yes, but that's the way we've been conditioned by the head coach. If you're on the field, you're healthy.
True.
We don't talk about injuries around here.
No, absolutely.
You don't know about the severity of injuries, so if you're on the field, you're expected
but
to perform.
But how, you know, could that be a factor for some of these guys?
Yes, and I mentioned to you off the air, we went to that Comcast event at the bar in Foxborough, and Jerod Mayo was there doing a live quick slants with Tom E. Curran, and he was asked about 09 when he was hurt. Came back from the knee injury, but then
right.
it wasn't great the rest of the year, and people speculated, was he hurt? Was he not hurt? Is the knee? And he talked about, you know, he was hurt that year, and it limited his play, but you'll never know. And he said, basically, the only thing you can judge it on is my play. When you see my play drop, well, that's a nice excuse to have as a player.
Right.
And I just said to you, maybe Devin McCourty's hurt. He's not playing well. He's not, I don't believe he's on the
I don't
injury.
Think he's listening.
He's not on the injury report,
right. no.
but there's probably guys that are nicked up that aren't on the injury report, because they're going to play. There's no
right.
question they're going to play. And, but, I've been conditioned. You're on the field. I'm sorry. I'm holding you to the standard of you're on the field. Play ball.
No. And that's the way it should be. But in reality, if the guy can't run as fast as he should,
right.
that would definitely affect a linebacker.
We've seen Mayo chasing. We certainly have seen him chasing. So that certainly could be injury related, or he could be not playing well.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get Andy's point, and I'm with him 100% because that is what Bill kind of wants us to do, you know, and certainly doesn't want the players using any injuries as a crutch.
And
so,
no coach does.
But I think Fred, your point is you do kind of just forget about the guys who were listed as questionable who play. Patrick Chung was listed as questionable. He didn't play.
And he didn't play.
You know?
Right.
So really, technically, there's no difference between Jerod Mayo and Patrick Chung last week. But we know there was, because one had an injury that prevented him from playing.
Right.
So I kind of side with Andy in that that's what Bill has conditioned us to do, and that's how it goes. But at the same time, it is most certainly that long list of guys. You know, Lee Bodden, by the way, a different injury this week. Did you notice that? I forget what it is now. It went from a hand to a back.
Was it groin now?
Groin.
Groin.
Groin
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, clearly he's dealing with a bunch of different things.
Right.
And you just wonder if this is one of those years for him, you know? So, guys,
or,
I'm sure, are less than 100%.
Or, as you would say.
Just not that good?
No, maybe there was a mistake on one of the injury reports somewhere in there where the injury was listed improperly. Right?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So,
hey, listen, what did we have last Friday? We had one that came up. We joke around about it, but there was a mishap last Friday where one of the guys wasn't on it at all, and he was supposed to be, and we had released the guy.
But, you know, and I bring this up because we look at this defense, and you say to yourself, could they really be that bad? You know, is this...
Well, they're saying it to themselves. Gerard Mayo just said that, you know, they think they have a lot of talented players, but they have to prove it. They think they have, and they've said it all the way back to the, Carter has said it. I believe Haynesworth has said it. Guys have referenced how much talent we have on this team, how these guys could go and start anywhere and all. Well, maybe you're wrong. And we were certainly in that group of being wrong. I had Andre Carter getting Defensive Player of the Year votes. He ain't getting those.
I thought
well,
they would
somebody
be,
agrees with you.
I thought it would be better than this.
A Patriots luminary.
He copied me.
Said exactly what you said yesterday. He said this is the worst Patriots defense he's seen since, I forget what he how he qualified it, but it was a strong statement by Teddy Bruschi yesterday on the
really?
Radio. Yeah. He said this.
Since when?
What?
Worst defense since when?
I think in the Belichick era.
I think he said the same thing I did, the Belichick era.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now I know I'm right.
Now I know he just listens to us and steals from me.
Well, but, you know.
I know I'm right.
I mean, you know.
You're an idiot.
Teddy's going all in because, you know, last week it was criticizing Ocho Cinco, and he got a little reprimand from Tom Brady for that.
Am I the only one that thinks that he is like a de facto, like, you know, motivational coach?
I think.
Not the only one. I don't buy it.
Well, you think he's pulling a Tom Jackson?
Absolutely.
I picked them just motivated.
No. Not in a stupid way, but I think he's calculated. I remember how, you know, I don't think that he does things that he doesn't necessarily feel. I don't think he fabricates things. So in other words,
he's a hothead like me.
But in other words,
I do
think that he thinks this defense has played poorly. I'm not saying that he thinks the defense is this or that or whatever. I think he thinks they played poorly, but I'm going to be really strong about this. I'm not going to pussyfoot around it. I'm going to come out and say this team is the worst defense that I've seen, and maybe that'll light a fire under. I still think that he's doing some of those things.
I don't. I think he's a hothead, and he had to keep it all covered up most of the time for his career, and now it's just flowing. It's just flowing. He can say whatever he wants.
He is a hothead. I think we've all
and that's
sort
my
of
point.
Seen that firsthand.
You've lost any limitations he had imposed upon him, and now he's just saying it.
I think he's all in. I think he's an emotional guy, and now he's just saying, I'm just going to, you know, shoot from the hip. And but that's a strong statement. Even shooting from the hip, that's a strong statement.
But it's just an observation. He got there the same way I did. He watched three games and said, I can't remember seeing three games where they sucked. And you know what the worst part is? I was trying to think back of comparisons, too. There was always Dwayne Starks, or there was always Delph O'Neill, some guy who's kind of a jag, who you could pin a lot of it on, Monty Beisel.
Well, that's what
now
we
they don't have
did.
Jags. Now you're pinning it on Devin McCourty. You're pinning it on guys that have to be key parts of your defense, and you can't pin it on one guy anyway because they suck in all three phases. Front to back, left to right, they stink. They're not good on defense, so you don't even have the one whipping boy. You have a bad defense all over. That's what I think makes it the worst.
Yeah, see, and that's where I can't believe it's going to stay this bad.
Well, it won't. I mean, this would be historically bad.
It's just like the offense isn't going to continue to put up the numbers that it's put
up
in terms of yards.
But I think
you might read that in the upcoming issue paper.
Yeah. I mean, it can't stay this bad.
But I think if the defense gets 20% better, and even
if Devin McCourty made 50% of his plays, and the defense was
20% in the
better,
area code to make,
the team will win the Super Bowl.
Listen, I think if the defense gets 20% better, and even if the offense gets 20% worse,
they'll be a better team.
They'll be a better team.
Yes.
I mean, that's
true.
I 100% agree with that, just to keep with the percentages. But it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
Along those lines,
I think it will work that
when
way.
I offended,
I think it's going to work that
when
way.
I offended
your theory, I think, is sound.
When I offended Anthony yesterday, and he got mad at me for saying he was a pool guy to shut the hell up.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you noticed, he said, I feel like it's 65% this, 15% this, and 15% this. And I was going to say, well, what's the other 5%? But he was already mad at me, so
luck,
I didn't want to
call him. Luck and intangibles.
You only have 95%.
So, well, that was just a thought that I had about, you know,
I don't think
it can't stay this bad. Yeah.
It can't stay this bad.
I'm
straws. Yeah. Here's Fred and he's grasping for you.
I'm grasping. Sure I am because
I'll tell you right now. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. This is as concerned as I've been in a few years because
he should be.
No, we're into Thursday and he's still not making me feel better.
It's true.
But your job is to make us feel better by Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you've made some attempts, but they're not really working.
What was the end of yesterday's show? You had a decent attempt at the end of yesterday's show.
Yeah, I remember I said, well, this is the Fred I've been looking for.
No, that wasn't it. I don't buy the whole, it's only week three.
Well, it is only
week three. All that tells me is we can suck for another 13 weeks.
Well, no.
But it is only week three.
Here's the thing. Who in the AFC do you think the Patriots can't beat?
Oh, that was it.
There's nobody.
Yeah, that one didn't make me feel very good.
Now, they can get beat by guys. No, no, but they are competitive with every team in the AFC.
That's right. And you said, and then I made fun of you for wanting to be competitive.
The other part is I think that a lot of that schedule that we thought was going to be pretty difficult.
Right.
Well, you know, yeah, that's
with the Manning situation. I don't think it's as.
But that concerns me.
I don't think it's
been
as difficult.
That is truly grasping at straws, because I still think the Steelers.
I agree.
In a 2 or 3 game stretch, you'll say, "Ooh, they're much better than they were a couple weeks ago."
Yeah, but you love the Steelers. You're
no,
biased.
No. Okay. Don't pick the one team I picked.
But you know,
aside from
the
Colts, there's a major reason why the Colts are not the team you thought. But Pittsburgh, there isn't a major reason. They're just not as good as we thought. That could swing around in a couple weeks. The Colts are going to suck.
And I think
suck.
The Colts obviously are—they're no threat. But the Steelers are, to me, like you say. Well, you love the Steelers. To me, the Steelers are the Patriots. Until otherwise proven, they're a 12-13 win team every year. They're a threat to win the Super Bowl every year. I love the matchup for the Patriots individually. The matchup, Tom Brady against that defense, I love it because. He always wins it. He's always dominant in it. But that doesn't mean I don't respect Pittsburgh. I do.
And like Dallas, which I assume the Patriots would win and might be a fight. Now, if Dallas has a couple hot games, then I'm going to say, retro, Dez Bryant coming in here,
sure.
McCourty under, or Washington, who I assume would suck, does not suck.
Right.
Now, right?
But Dallas is another, you know, that might be a defense that Bill hasn't seen a lot of, and now it's a psycho defensive coordinator who has had some success against the Patriots.
And DeMarcus Ware has been playing out
using,
of his bunghole.
Using different players, better players, than he did last year with Cleveland.
Yeah, so, he traded in Matt Roth for DeMarcus Ware.
But, you know, going to the Bills game, you know, if the Patriots played the Bills 9 more times this season, or how many of them do you think they'd win? I think most
9
of them. Yeah, 9 of them, probably.
But I think I think 6 of them would be 30-something to 30-something.
Well, and if Brady hadn't thrown 4 interceptions, what do you think the score would have been in that game? You know?
Sure.
So
absolutely.
So you look at that and you say, okay.
I would have gotten my 38-27 that I predicted.
The Bills had to win one eventually. They're a much better team than they have been.
I agree.
You know,
but what if they're a much better team than you're giving them credit for?
I think they are a better team than we all gave them credit for.
No,
in.
I mean, like I said yesterday, what if they win the division and they go
12-4? Because Brady threw 4 interceptions and they still only won by a field goal.
But that's just that specific game.
No,
they
could
find other ways to beat you every game.
Right. And that's the same thing.
Maybe
the
CJ
Patriots
Spiller
did early
does what we
last
thought.
Year. Right? That's how the Patriots won games early last year. Was, you know, the other team turned it over 4 times and you win games by a field goal.
Yeah, but they were facing guys like Tom Brady. That's a fluke when Tom Brady does it.
It's not a fluke when Philip Rivers does it? He's never thrown 3 picks in his career. Once. Not even once.
That's because Brady's have his, I mean, the,
I mean,
Brady's,
more,
the Patriots have his number.
More than 3, right? It's more than 3.
More than
I'm sorry.
Three.
I mean, yeah.
Career,
I mean,
any,
yeah. He's never thrown
only done
more
the
than 3
a couple times.
Yeah, and he's actually thrown some interceptions this year. I think he has like 6 already this year.
Brady has 5.
Yeah, well. Yeah. 4-1 game.
So they don't count as much?
No. They count.
If you spread them out and have 5,
they count every
it matters.
No, it's
they
like Tully Bannekane sacks against Buffalo. Or,
right.
You know.
It's one of those things that if he has.
Wait, but the Bills defense sucks and he had 4 in that game.
It's one of those things if we're
in
week 11.
Not that bad.
Oh, it sucks.
Oh, that defense.
Those were the 2 worst defenses in the NFL.
That defense is wretched.
But they weren't, you know.
They sucked.
They weren't all clean interceptions. They were bouncing off guys' helmets and.
Doesn't matter.
You know, it wasn't like.
That's my point. He had his 4 pick game against a bad defense.
No, I understand.
If it were Baltimore, I'd say, well, you don't have to play Baltimore every week.
And that's what Baltimore does. They get their hands in passing lanes and the ball deflects.
What if he does it against the good defenses he faces later, like the Jets, theoretically, or a better defense than the Bills?
Well, that's a big if, and we'll see.
There's another team that doesn't look as formidable.
You have absolutely nothing. Where's the guy who said we're going to rape, we're going to pillage, we're going to do this?
Yeah,
you're going, we'll see. We could get better. What do you have? You have
not
nothing.
You're supposed to make me feel better.
Can you bring something to the table?
I mean, there is no empirical evidence to back that up right now. I can't.
The old Fred Kirsch didn't need empirical evidence. Yeah.
No.
He had confidence coming out of his cojones.
The old Fred Kirsch used to tell me how we dominated
the
Houston Texans in the game that we lost.
But the problem is, we've had 3 games now, and every game the opposing quarterback has thrown 4 god-awful yards.
Whatever many yards he wanted to.
Right.
Freddie, you know what number is most alarming?
Problem.
What? How many big plays you think the defense gave up last year?
Big plays?
Yeah. 20-yard pass plays or greater. 40.
40?
They've given up 20 this year. They're on pace for 102.
Wow.
2.5 times. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary. And you can't just bench Delph O'Neal and say, ooh, that problem solved. Because if you bench Devin McCourty and say, ooh, that problem solved, it won't be
Darius
solved.
Darius Butler last year.
Right. You can't scapegoat the captain.
No, but that's the problem. The evidence right now is that the same results in all three games. You know, now with the Bills game, like I said, if Brady hadn't thrown four interceptions, I don't think the Bills would have scored 34 points.
They would have scored about 27.
Maybe.
21, somewhere 20, in there.
You know, somewhere in the mid to high 20s.
Maybe, or the Patriots would have had, you know, such a lead where now Belichick does take more chances and you get a few. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's one of those butterfly theories.
And I subscribe to that theory. Yeah. I think it goes
both ways.
Things change. Right. If they don't throw the picks, things change. And you might be right. If it was 28-7 at the end of the half, and now it's just a pure desperation second half for Buffalo, maybe they just do what they did last year in Buffalo and end up with like 5 turnovers, 6 turnovers, and they don't score any more points.
Right.
That could have happened.
Right.
But I've seen the other teams that the Patriots have played in similar situations this year, and they've moved the ball up and down the field and scored.
Right. That's the problem.
That's why I think Buffalo would have scored 27 points if without the interceptions.
The evidence is there that these guys cannot cover, particularly one-on-one. They just can't keep up. And, you know, again, I go back to the beginning of the show. Is Mayo hurt? Is Bodden hurt to the point where he's having trouble covering?
Yes.
You know,
I'm going yes with Bodden. I don't know why.
You know, we know
he's lower on the injury report. He's probably.
Is Chung that big of a linchpin where if he's out, you know, these other two safeties.
Were you in on him today? He spoke today, late in the year.
No, Eric was.
Okay.
He was there for the first two.
Yeah. You know, so these are all big questions that remain to be answered. And I think it's only fair, of course, to see a few more games.
Of course.
Before we make a.
When do we pull the plug and we're scared and.
Right.
Let me tell you.
Give me a week.
Week 8. Halfway through the season.
Let me delve into really, really, really hypothetical negative territory.
Okay.
Now we're pushing each other over to go as negative as we can.
No, I have a question, and I'll state up front that I don't believe that it will happen.
Even more negative when yesterday I wondered if Bill's been here too long and it's maybe time
to
move on.
Any concerns at all offensively?
No.
I think
any quotes from the Bills afterward about you know, they knocked down, I think, 4 or 5 passes in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one that obviously resulted in an interception, but they got their hands on a few. A lot of short passes. That was what their game plan was to try to crowd the middle there and get their hands on some of any fear that teams might be able to do that a little bit.
If Brady was a second or third year quarterback, I would be, but he's been in the league long enough where he can correct that.
Yeah. I agree.
Everyone sucks but me.
That's why I said it was a hypothetical negative.
If this was a young quarterback,
I do think it could be lookout below if all of a sudden you can't get over like 24.
I was about to swear. Absolutely.
If you get down around the 20s with points, I think it'd be lookout below.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're winning a lot of games 21-17.
Well, I said yesterday, if Gronkowski had not continued to develop, I might be concerned. But to me, they now have guys that can win physical matchups, and it's not just Welker has to be free underneath.
It's the opposite of the defense. They can win the one-on-one matchups, where
some of them,
defense, they're not.
Yeah, they don't have anybody. Right.
But you would think they should. You know, you would think
they have three of them. You know, Wilfork, Mayo, and McCourty. I expected to win those.
We thought that, you know, with this addition of the defensive line, that now Wilfork might get some one-on-ones that he would win. And, you know,
well, the trouble is we haven't seen it all that much.
Yeah.
Kyle Love is out there, and, you know, he's not going to get the attention that Haynesworth might.
And hopefully Haynesworth will be back this week.
What's the under-over on games played for Albert Haynesworth? I sent that out this morning on Twitter.
10.
Yeah, that's a good
Someone
number.
Set the line at 9.5, and I took the under.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the under.
I think he's going to play 10.
Push.
Whatever you said of that, I'll take the under. Let's put it that way.
4.
Under.
He's already played 2, so Paul doesn't think he's going to play anymore.
I don't think I could be any more clear with my feelings on.
Well, he can be irrelevant and still play, though.
I don't think he's going to finish the season on the roster.
He may not. I think that's certainly plausible.
So,
but you know what the problem is? We're supposed to be arguing right now about Rob Ninkovich and Gary Guyton and Josh Barrett. And we're arguing about McCourty and Mayo and Haynesworth and Ocho. I mean,
and there's really no argument.
How bad it is.
That's the problem. There's no argument at this point.
Oh, we did it on point.
You know, I don't really have a leg to stand on. If
you
I'm
obviously
say,
don't know Andy and I very well, we can argue about anything.
If I'm going to say, well, Ocho's going to be fine or Haynesworth's going to be fine, you know, based on what?
Well, if he gets 20% better,
you know. Well,
you're
really
not helping me at all. I'm just letting you know. When has he ever said, can you really say that Haynesworth and Ocho are going to be fine? No, you usually go, they'll be fine.
Hugh Jackson said he'll be fine.
That's what you say. I adore him, Hugh Jackson said.
Well,
but
Chad
not on,
Johnson's
but
my
not
son.
On, but not on Sunday.
What about
now,
Chad
were you mad
Ochocinco?
Were you mad at him?
No, different.
Okay. You just hate Felger. Just say
I
it.
Do hate Felger.
But that's the only reason why
no,
it
No, but that's
you.
Different. If this guy has a close relationship to him and that relationship was founded with Chad Johnson, he has the right to call him Chad Johnson.
Give
just
me
like
a break.
I bet Prince's mother doesn't call him Prince.
Right.
She calls him whatever the hell his name is.
I don't think there's any question
right?
about it.
Who?
Prince.
Oh.
Or she doesn't say
the symbol.
The symbol. She calls him Chuck or whatever the hell she named him when he was born. He was part of the birth of Chad Johnson. He views him as Chad Johnson.
Right.
You know, Terry Bollea's mother doesn't call him Hulk Hogan. She calls him Terry, right?
It's a little bit different. That's
no, it
that's
isn't.
A character.
So is Chad Ochocinco. He's a character
no, but
created for Chad Johnson Enterprises. He's a character. And Mike Felger doesn't get to pick and choose what he calls people. He shouldn't call him John Kraft. He's known as Jonathan Kraft.
He should
call him Chad Johnson.
I think
he should call him Chad Ochocinco.
You know, you can call me a little suck up all you want. I think there's a much bigger problem with him calling him John Kraft. I've never heard,
sir.
12 years I've worked for him, I've never heard anyone call him anything but Jonathan.
Right.
So I think that is disrespectful to just, I'm just going to call him whatever I want.
I think Felger does it to push buttons on people.
He does the same thing with Papelbon. Jonathan Papelbon wants to be called Jonathan. That's his name. He always calls him John Papelbon. Why?
Well, Devin McCourty told me he wanted to be called McCurdy.
I thought you were going to go Dev.
Just so you know.
And Rodney Mayo.
Or in my case, Andy, Capello and Felger could just not remember my existence completely.
Well, that's...
I'm not so sure you worked for that.
It always has to come back to you, doesn't it,
Kevin? Yes, it does.
No, it always comes back to Felger. It's always about him. He's the show. You should call him Michelle Felger or something.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
508-298-0398
is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's go to some emails, shall we?
Okay, we shall.
That's my voice for I'm waiting for the email to get onto my screen. McKean in Pennsylvania says, I'm so glad to hear Pete was shutting down some of the panic after the Bills loss. He hit it on the head by pointing out that there was no panic. I don't understand how people can be freaking out after two crushing victories followed by a skin-of-the-teeth loss. Bottom line, Ocho eats it, and sometimes you get unlucky bounce that turns over into a TD. Nothing we didn't already know. I actually feel pretty good about the fact that despite all the bad luck, the team didn't freak out and Brady kept it together. Just compare this loss to the loss against the Jets in the playoffs last season when it was just a meltdown. Bottom line, Pats had a bad luck, narrow loss to a high-powered offense in September. By game one of the postseason, no one will even remember. Well, that's the question. Are the Bills a high-powered offense?
Offensive player of the month, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. I mean, if they continue to do this, I guess I will feel
by
better.
By the way,
but
there is no panic about this loss. That's a complete and total fabrication.
But there is panic about the defense. I sense it. I sense panic about
yes,
the defense.
Because it hasn't been
right.
about one game. You said that perfectly.
Yeah.
It's three games.
Right.
But
it's not one game. This is nothing new for the defense. There is panic about that.
And panic
but
would
not
involve
about the team in general.
Not making the playoffs. No one thinks
exactly.
they're not going to make the playoffs. Everybody's worried they're going to make the playoffs and lose.
Right.
I don't think that really qualifies as
well,
panic.
Well, they're worried
exactly.
that we thought that they had taken steps forward from last year's defense, and so far they have not.
And by the
despite
way.
Despite all the additions.
But even that is, you know, you play on the first weekend of the playoffs. That's not panic to me. Whether you're the sixth seed or not, if you're playing in the playoffs, you've done something, right?
Sure.
You weren't listening.
Paul, you all right?
No,
there.
I was wondering.
Did you see that
yeah.
fight?
I was wondering what was going on. There was a Green
Paul
Bay
like
Packers.
I don't think
disgusting.
I've ever seen anything like that in a football game.
It was
game.
On NFL Network.
Chicago Green Bay last week.
Guy from
By the
Chicago
way,
had a guy from Green
he
Bay.
He was jumping on top of
on
him
top
and
of
punching
him.
Him.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Andy, his mother did call him Prince because that's his name.
His real name is Prince?
Yes.
He was born Prince?
Prince Rogers Nelson.
That's
his
that's
official
great.
Name.
Well, there you go.
Him
his
and
birth
Prince Amukamara.
So there you go.
Because Chad Ochocinco's real name
no,
is...
No, his real name birth name is Prince Rogers.
Okay, we'll stick with the Hulk Hogan one.
We had two crushing wins. No, we didn't. We had two nice wins to start the season, but they weren't
Listen,
blowouts.
Before,
I know they won them both by 14 points, but they weren't blowouts.
In Miami, you know, before Brady threw that 99-yard pass to Welker, you know, if Miami had come up with a stop right there deep in that territory.
And the game was tied in the second half.
Right.
And the San Diego game, the other team had the ball down six in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, give the Patriots credit for closing both games. They were the better team, and they showed it at the end. They didn't close in this game.
Yeah.
But they didn't have two, like, blowout wins.
By the way, I talked to Devin McCourty after the group session and just asked him, did it ever cross his mind on the Fred Jackson run to let him score? And he said, no, not from there. Afterwards, you think about it, you see the replay, and you start to realize the situation.
Right.
It creeps into your head. But he never even pondered the idea, nor should he have,
you know,
as an athlete, as a competitor.
I'm not on the field, but as soon as he split those two guys, I said, just let him get in.
But you can't.
I know.
When you're out
I know.
There.
No, I'm not blaming him for that. There's enough to blame him for, not that.
Yeah. He also does think that opposing quarterbacks smell blood in the water when they throw his way. Good
that,
question.
That is an easy thing as a viewer, because Andy and I were both saying the same thing.
Because you're from afar.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't do that as a player.
Yeah. U.S. Marine Corps Dave writes in. He says, love
the show.
Thank you
for your service.
And you guys have convinced me to buy an iPad and get the PFW app. When will Apple start sending you royalties?
They should.
They should, huh?
Or at least stock options.
Dave says, anyway, I was wondering if you could give us an update on Kevin Falk. I figured he'd be ready by the first few games this season, but I've read his PUP lasts until at least week six. What's the deal?
Yes.
Having Falk back and could probably really help our run game and give one more option for defenses to try and account for in our already multi-pronged offense.
Kevin
all right,
Falk.
Have a good week, and hopefully Sunday afternoon we can all forget about Buffalo and get back to winning. Kevin's around the team, so that's a good thing.
All the time.
And I think at this point that's really all they need from him. No disrespect to Kevin, but I'm not sure that he can make this offense any better at this point. I think that they're running on maximum cylinders, I think.
He certainly isn't needed at running back right now because you're healthy, you have your options there. The only way I think he's needed, and I think it's a long shot, is Ocho doesn't work out, Hernandez stays healthy, and you're bringing him aboard as just a slot, another option for your
well,
spread
sets.
Well, for
example, like that, the ball that, you know, tipped off Woodhead, Falk wouldn't have caught that either. That was a badly thrown ball.
He might have.
Kevin Falk wouldn't have helped in that.
He might have.
Oh, no.
He's made miraculous catches in his career.
The only thing I could say is that maybe for what, and I'm not giving Brady
the half a yard difference.
I'm not giving Brady the out. Maybe Falk is in a different
he might
spot
have caught it
with a different angle.
Yeah.
The same exact play.
He might have caught it.
No way.
I'm with Kevin.
No way.
I tend to think he's a talented player.
I think
you
guys think what you want about his diminishing skills.
This is really
I think he's a talented player.
Yeah, we all know what you said about him, I don't know, 8 years ago.
Right. I don't think you're going to see him this year at all.
I think if everybody is healthy, I agree with Andy.
So the ball bounces off his face on the one punt return they give him.
There is a chance that he comes back if you get Woodhead banged up. And Woodhead, by the way, a little quiet the last two games.
Yes.
Thought he had a nice opener. Same guy I remember from last year. A little more subdued, I thought, the last two games. Didn't you?
And he just hasn't had a lot of opportunities. He hasn't screwed up or anything.
No, I think he's had some opportunities.
He's had similar numbers, I think.
You think so?
He's not a guy that's going to get you 25 touches or whatever. He's, you know, 6-6 or whatever.
No, but I think he even had more than that. I think he had
9 in one of them.
Yeah.
The answer to that question is Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem with anything Woodhead's done. Anything really? No,
I haven't had. I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'd like to see more than 1.8 from my lead running back.
And he was held. I mean, Woodhead was held under 3, I think, too, or 2, or just over 3 a carry, and that's he should be more around 5.
Plus.
With the way he runs the ball in the situations
right.
that he runs it.
Too early
he's not lining up two tight ends first and 10 running
right.
the ball.
Delays and draws and
too
stuff
too early
like
to
that.
Say within a month that Ridley will be the lead back.
How long again?
A month.
So 4 games. That
could actually
happen.
With the bye, I'm not even sure it's 4 games.
That could happen.
Isn't that coming?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I think it's 3.
I think he's going to be the lead back soon.
Yeah.
Oakland, Jets, Dallas,
I think
right?
Benny is a great backup running back.
Yeah.
For everything he's good at, maximizing plays, everything. He just He's not the lead dog, and if the offense needs any help, if you get your little 20% drop in offense, you might need a 20% gain somewhere.
Right.
And maybe that's Ridley taking four-yard runs and making them eight.
We haven't heard from Jason and Chiba in a long time.
But I often reference him.
But he has some observations about the Bills game. He says, one, Marv Albert is not a good announcer for football, and Gannon is a massive QB suck-up.
Yes, okay. Both of those things are accurate.
Two, you're not going to score as much when you give the ball away.
Good point.
Three.
A Fred-like point, but yes, valid as well.
It isn't that our defense doesn't play from ahead, it's that it can't. If you can't get to the QB when you're ahead by three touchdowns, then you just can't.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, you know they're going to pass. What could you possibly be waiting on? What are you checking with? What are you reading? Nothing. The only possible explanation is that they simply cannot get to the passer. My opinion, they're just slow. Strong, but slow. Bill even said afterwards that he was happy about the level of pressure that they got. I'm glad he's content with it, then, I guess. Someone other than Wilfork's mother has to be. Wow. Four, it seems like there's a disconnect between the way Coach Belichick thinks of his team and the way the rest of the league does. Bill wants the Patriots to be known as being tough, smart, and disciplined. Seems like the free agents we get think of the Patriots just as the offense, a finesse team. I think this disconnect is contributing to the team's decline. In five, could there be a more classic Patriots loss? Seems like we have one of these once a year. Pats lose to a team we all expect them to beat, look pretty bad doing it. Let's hope this one was just as fluky as the Browns last year, the Broncos in 09, and the Giants in 08. Oh, wait. One bonus observation, not from the game. Fred is a moron. The new Star Wars Episode 3 was a joke, just horrible. The only good thing about it was that it wasn't one or two. Fred, if you get a chance, follow this link and watch a review of Revenge on YouTube by Red Letter Media. You know, I don't care what these guys think. I thought it was a great movie. I don't need to read.
I didn't see those three.
What some geek wrote on. Oh, well, you know, the cape that Darth Vader was wearing at the end of the thing didn't match 1, 2, and 3. So, you know, I don't need to read all that stuff.
I think it's cute how you don't think you're a geek.
It was happy that
that's what I was laughing at.
It was
at.
An excellent.
He knows about the cape.
Geek on geek crime.
It was an excellent
amount. Happy geek. That
geek on geek crime. Andy, very well put.
P.S. Right, I was watching the game online in the morning here after it was over, but before I learned the score of the game, I had to stop at halftime and go to work. I downloaded the Patriots pregame social and Bill's postgame presser and put them on my MP3 player and got on my bike. Midway through the trip, when we came to a commercial, I went to fast forward and accidentally opened Bill's presser. So a disappointing loss.
Oh, that's a crusher.
Damn effing right disappointing. I almost emailed in a picture of the dump I took when I got to work as my impression of the game. Common decency is all that saved you. Disappointing. So is life. But you don't have to find that out until it's over.
Wow.
Jason from Chiba.
An
epic email from Jason from Chiba.
I don't want to pile on, but did you see who the defensive rookie of the month was?
I didn't.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Oh, yeah, I told you I was impressed with him.
Oh, yeah, he's played well.
The thing that he said about the pressure when you're down, or when you have a big lead, when you have the other team down, I think is the number one telling thing.
That's what I said yesterday.
Even in the
okay,
even in some of our worst of times defensively, Belichick has been able to do that. He's been able to.
Tully Bannacane got a big contract from that.
He's been able to find ways to close out games with sacks. Jarvis Green is the poster child for that.
Right.
And they can't do it. I talked to Andre Carter a little bit in a big group in the locker room, and he was asked some questions about, you know, how the fits are up front and how they think it's coming together. And he just kept saying they feel like it's really close. Now, I don't know necessarily if he's talking specifically about the pass rush, which he is probably the most concerned about. But they feel like they do it right, quote unquote, for a couple of plays, and then they take a step back. They're just not consistent. And we heard Will Fork say the same kind of things.
Can somebody show me those plays, point those plays out to me when they're doing it right?
Well, I asked him, do you feel like when you say that the lack of consistency, is it technique? Is it losing your battles? Is it missed assignments?
Right.
And, you know, what do you think he said?
A little bit of everything.
All of the above.
But, look, you laugh at that, but this could be the thing where
it just all of a sudden clicks one
all
week.
All of a sudden it clicks. All these little things that aren't going right start to go right. And all of a sudden, what we saw in Tampa Bay.
But that's what I was going to ask. When he says we're close, are we close to being competitive? Because in my opinion, they haven't been competitive. Or are they close to being good?
Right.
Because those are two different things.
Right.
Competitive may be enough, right, with this offense.
With this offense.
Sure.
But to be where they really want to go, which is Super Bowl,
we want it.
They have to become good.
Yeah, we are, you know, yearning here in New England for a dictating defense, a defense that can impose their will on an offense. We haven't had that since 03.
I thought he was talking about Brandon.
Right? 03, 04.
Because, you know, he was kind of a dictator.
Even then, you know, but when the Patriots got a lead.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
You know, if the Patriots got a 13-0 lead in 03, it was game over.
Yes,
right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Right?
07, you know, and it wasn't just because you were dominant on offense. It was because once you force that team to declare.
Right.
Okay, we know they have to pass. Game over. Bill's going to make sure that you can't do the one thing you have to do. Well, now, teams can do anything they want to do. Even in the comeback mode the other day in Buffalo was able to do whatever it wanted.
Yeah.
They ran Fred Jackson. They threw the ball. They threw it deep. They threw it short. I mean, all the things that you would think you couldn't do down three touchdowns, Buffalo did.
That's why the Bills game magnified the first two games. Because in the first two games, Paul's right, they were close. They weren't runaways. This was a runaway.
The beginning of this game was different than the other two.
Right.
In the Patriots' favor.
Right.
I agree.
I remember it well, second quarter. Tell me again why they're not going 16-0.
I'm sorry, I have faith in the organization that I work for.
I was in the press box totally relaxed. I wasn't trying to show it because I don't like doing that in the visiting press box. But things were in control.
Now, how do you show you're relaxed? Take your pants off? Is that?
Just
have a few cocktails.
Just
maybe light a fire in someone's pants.
You know what's most alarming to me when I was doing the research on some of the big plays is we have the same number of big plays on offense that we've allowed on defense. I believe it's both 20 and 20 or 20, right in that same number.
23, I want to say.
But we've allowed 10 big runs, which is greater than 10 yards. I believe we have two runs that are greater than 10 yards. So we're also not stopping the run. And you could say, well, it's because, you know, there's so much pass, but it's the same. Your offense is passing just as well as their offense, and yet your offense isn't getting these big runs.
Well, that's the
you
thing.
You can't stop either on defense.
I think there's some panic among the players from play to play. I think that they just need to calm down.
Really?
I do. I think that...
I haven't really sensed that.
Yeah, I think they need to calm down.
I think they're a little concerned. The defensive
players. No, I think they're concerned in the meeting room right now. He's saying play to play that
on
they're
the field. I think that
he used the word panic between plays.
Well, maybe panic is a strong word, but
you used it.
Panic is probably a strong word, but I think I know what you're talking about, Fred, because it does seem to me
befuddled.
How many times does it seem like there's two Patriots defenders after a play looking at each other
with their
palms
up
in the air?
Yeah.
Brandon Spikes must have done it 5 times the other day.
Yeah, but that's like saying Chad Ochocinco does it on offense.
You know, the
play. And isn't it a concern with Chad Ochocinco?
Yeah, but I'd be more concerned if it was Mayo looking to Wilfork and McCourty with his hands.
But
I mean, Spikes doesn't fit in. He's a problem child.
But it doesn't.
He's had issues, right?
According to the Boston Herald today, everything is great. For
that's
him.
Their little SEC. Oh, I once worked in the SEC.
He's coming on.
He once played in the SEC. SEC rules, huh?
But the whole running thing that
should
you,
I not
the,
have done that? Does that fall into the thing
probably.
You were asked not to do?
The whole point that you made about the runs, the Patriots are allowing the runs, even though the other team is in a passing mode, but they're not getting the runs, even though they're in a passing mode.
They're getting the runs on defense, but it's totally different kind of runs.
Buffalo played the entire game in a nickel and dime package, and yet 1.8 yards a carry for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Now, the only exceptions to that would be the goal line, you know?
Right.
And Ridley had a couple nice runs.
Yeah, he did.
He had his three runs for 30 yards at three-play stretch.
And Woody had one nice one. I think he went for 12 or 14 yards on one run.
I don't remember that
one. I don't remember that one either.
It was around midfield.
I remember Ridley's. Ridley had...
It was like 16 and 9 or like some stretch there.
Well, that was stretch where Paul thought they should have kept it on the ground instead of the Gronkowski
interception. Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing about the running stats that kind of gets skewed, you know, there was an end around in there from Welker for 19 yards.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that totally pads your rushing for the day. Because people will look and say, well, they average, I think, 4.2 yards as a team. Well, you take that trick play out by a wide receiver and you didn't average 4.2 a carry.
But you can't take any plays out, Paul. You can't take out the interceptions. You can't take out the runs.
Right.
They all count.
Keith in Georgia says, yesterday one of our emailers is a Patriots fan who was thinking about wearing his Patriots jersey to the Raiders game.
And we told him
Keith
not to.
Keith in Georgia says, for the love of all things holy, Luke Skywalker included, please do not let the fan who wrote in yesterday wear his Patriots jersey to the game in Oakland. The fans there are over the edge psychotic. When I lived in Sacramento after the Tuck Rule game, they came into my yard, pulled my Patriots flag off the side of my house, and burned it on my front lawn.
What is this, the South in the...
Anyone displaying anything Patriots in Oakland is taking their life into their own hands. Do not let that fan do it.
That's what we told him.
Now onto my question.
And by the way, if you have any designs on wearing a visiting team shirt here, I wouldn't do that either.
Yeah, that you can.
I don't think you'd get killed like you might in Oakland, but I wouldn't do it.
There was a Jacksonville fan that got beat up pretty bad a couple years ago. But for the most part, you're okay as long as you don't flaunt it. If you go to have a good time, you're probably okay.
If you flaunt it, Paul will be on top of you.
Why am I not hearing Matt Patricia getting criticism for his inability to coach? Bill O'Brien is getting his fair share and has for a few years now.
Because he's the coordinator.
Didn't Patricia coach the linebackers last year who were considered the worst part of the bad defense? And isn't he coaching the defensive backs this year,
safeties,
now considered the worst part of the worst defense in the history of all American and European football? At some point, you have to realize coaching does play some part in this frustration. A coach should be able to take players who don't even have much talent and show some progression. We are seeing a regression from season to season, and I put that on coaching. Any thoughts? P.S. The iPad app is amazing. I don't own an iPad, but I thought saying this would help get my email read.
Ask for one for Christmas.
Coaching.
Well, first of all, Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator.
And there's a reason why we don't talk about it a lot here, because it's all Bill Belichick.
Right.
You know, and...
And fact, wait, one fact, too, though. He's coaching the safeties if you go by the actual roster of coaches. He's the safeties coach. Well, he is truly the de facto defensive coordinator who calls the plays, whatever. His title is safeties coach. So don't blame Devin McCourty and Lee Barden on this guy.
But the problem with that theory is what Fred touched on. If they play very well defensively, you're not going to credit Matt Patricia. You're going to credit Bill.
Right.
So I don't think it's really fair that you're going to rip Matt Patricia if they're not playing well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to criticize anything about the defense now, and it's how they're built. It's the personnel moves. Right now, it doesn't look like all these additions are panning out.
Which is also Bill.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that's going to be the case over the course of the season.
But by week 8, you might believe.
But right now, it's all about personnel.
He's going to regret this giving me that.
This is why he doesn't want to talk to you. Because this is what you do to him.
Do you like the talk of the Cleveland game, Fred?
What's that?
Who's talk of the Cleveland game?
Oh, a lot of players are talking about it. Okay. Mayo brought it up.
That's what I'm asking.
This was McCourty, like that game.
You know, like they did last year and the coming back and all that crap.
Well, I mean, they could use it the same way. Great.
I don't like the talk.
That's fine.
What happened to the team that what happened last month, last year, last whatever, didn't matter?
But that Cleveland game was a total ass-kicking. Okay? They were out.
That's true.
You know, this was not a total ass-kicking.
Right. That's true.
You know?
Wasn't the same as Sunday because they should not have lost the game on Sunday. They absolutely should have lost the Cleveland game.
Right.
Right.
But I don't like
talking about motivationally and mentally.
I don't like it because it's almost like you're blowing it off saying, well, we had this happen before where we lost to a team we didn't expect
all
to lose
great
to.
Teams
and
have
everything
hiccups.
Was fine after that. We won our next whatever in a row, 8-9 in a row. I don't like that talk. Like, we'll just win the next 8 in a row and no one will remember this Buffalo game. I don't like that. You can't think that if you're a player. Bill doesn't think like
it's one
that.
One game at a time.
But if they're using it as a severe wake-up call, fine. That's fine. We're not as good as we thought we were. Fine.
Oh, but I think it actually is the opposite. It's we are as good as we thought we were.
This was
we're
going to
go on
the radar.
We're going to go on an 8-game run right now.
Well, I don't really take it that
I'm
way.
I'm concerned about the defense thing more. The whole, you know, we have a lot of great players on defense. I'm not sure you do. I was wrong. You were wrong. I'm not sure you do. You have a lot of positions that I would consider question marks right now. Sean Ellis, question mark. Albert Haynesworth, question mark. Cunningham, Ninkovich, question mark.
Spikes.
Spikes certainly in that mix. Barrett, Brown, question. There's a lot of question marks on the defense.
And
I don't know where all these
sudden,
players
like
are.
Fred said, Baden, McCourty, question mark.
Right. Right. Let's see. Taylor writes in, and I don't know where he's from, but he says, dude, I'm a diehard Patriots fan, but our defense is horrific. We're not getting consistent pressure up front. Our linebackers can't cover. Without a proper pass rush, our secondary is looking deplorable. McCourty is having issues, but I think he will get it together. However, we need to fix this. I think the Pats will win, but we're going to have to jump on them quick. Oakland is not as slouchy as you think. I don't think anyone here is thinking they're slouchy anymore. I really don't. I don't think
it's a very good team.
I think they can play a tough brand of football, and I think they can give the Patriots fits in this game.
I think they're defense stinks.
I'm going to explain that when we get to our picks. But, I look at this as perhaps even a tougher game than the Buffalo game.
I don't. I don't think their offense is as good because I don't think the quarterback is playing as well right now.
Yeah, but
I'm not sold on Fitzpatrick.
I think their brand of defense might be able to give
Brady some
trouble.
I think their brand of defense is not very good. They gave up the same lead to the Buffalo Bills. They stunk on defense just the same way.
I hear you.
To the Buffalo Bills. I'm afraid of Richard Seymour because I think he is good. I think they're allowing him to be more aggressive, and I think he would...
And he's going to be motivated.
Yeah. I think he would give his firstborn up to...
I've seen when Seymour is, like, ultra-motivated, and you can't stop the man.
Yeah, after he struts on the field against the Jaguars.
Right.
If you had any doubt, the final question of the conference call yesterday when he was asked, is he looking forward to catching up with Bill Belichick, and he said, my teammates out there, I have no problem with. And that's how it ended.
All of them.
Yeah. He has a problem with Bill Belichick. And he wants to stick it to him. And the best way to stick it to him is to stick it to Tom Brady. And, oh, by the way, he lines up across from a sick Logan Mankins, who missed his first practice as a Patriot yesterday due to illness. So if Logan Mankins can't play and Richard Seymour wants to own the game, he might own the game, right?
I think that was a ruse.
That's okay. Well, again, I take injury reports for what they are.
The Logan Mankins thing was not a ruse.
You don't think so?
I don't know what his illness is, but it was not a ruse.
I got a flu shot yesterday.
Okay. In your forehead?
Just saying. Does it look any better?
No.
I ripped it off.
It looks worse.
Yeah, I ripped it.
I didn't know it was possible.
But you've turned the corner.
Yeah.
I'm an expert on those. You've turned the corner.
Okay.
By next week, you'll be fine for TV. You won't need more as makeup kit.
Yeah, I just don't think that the Raiders' defense is any good, Fred.
It's terrible.
You're talking about the defense like it's like this big, tough, physical unit that can slow you down. I mean, the Jets move the ball at will on them. The Jets don't have anywhere near the Patriots' offense.
Right.
All I fear is Richard Seymour and Darren McFadden.
Mark Sanchez threw for a career high last week. You know that?
Is that right?
Yeah. And they scored 24 points and... They were a video review reversal away from making it 31. You saw that last play, right, Andy? In my office, they were going in for a touchdown, and they originally called it a touchdown. It got reviewed, rightly reversed on fourth and goal, and he was diving into the end zone. So they don't stop anybody. They didn't stop Buffalo. They didn't stop the Jets. They did a good job the first week against Denver. Denver's no good.
Okay.
I mean, they don't have receivers that you can say are even as proven as Stevie Johnson. Is it Denarius Moore?
Denarius Moore.
They have
incredible speed.
Right.
And I think that could be worrisome.
But the whole excuse that the guy's good, none of them are good. You may make them look good, but none of them are proven good. You don't have 1,000-yard receivers, 10-touchdown guys on there like Stevie Johnson, like Brandon Marshall, like Vincent Jackson. There's nothing of that.
And no, Jason you're absolutely right.
Is not good. I think he is terrible.
But my fear would be, you know,
game managers. He's a game manager.
If Freddie's fears are going to be realized, it would be, well, McFadden runs reasonably well, so that therefore you have to load up the box, and you're leaving your guys out there on a guy like Jacoby Ford, who may return and play this week. He hasn't played, or someone like that, Denarius Moore, who's done a couple of big plays. They're not going to go out and have a guy that catches 10, 11 passes for 160 yards like Vincent Jackson. But
maybe Boss.
But what happens if Denarius Moore catches 3 passes, but he takes 2 of them, for touchdowns? Or, Jacoby Ford catches 1 pass and it happens to go for, 65 yards and a touchdown. All of a sudden, you're in the game because that's what it takes to beat the Patriots. You have to shoot out with them and you have to. That's why I don't think they have a prayer. I don't think they could match them point for point the way they play offense.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a lot more show because we're going to be going beyond 2
o'clock. Are we going to do picks at 4?
No, we'll do picks at 2.
Okay.
At the end of this first 2-hour segment.
Happy birthday, strippers. Thanks for lunch.
Thank you, strippers.
Oh, strippers bought lunch today? Thank you, strippers.
Because they lost the bet with me.
We'll be right back with more of your calls and emails.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown! Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say. Or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
I did. I haven't forgotten to turn my mic on for a while. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you listen to some of those skits, it goes back to two-gender.
Right.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
I like the one where when you finally did come on, your mouth was full. You were talking about some food in your mouth.
Well, you know, man's got to eat.
And now, the reason you
thank
don't...
Thank you, strippers.
I like when Andy goes, that's the longest you've ever gone.
And the reason you don't have the problem now is you never turn it off. Like yesterday when you left the show and rubbed up against it and we could hear you in the background. Safe approach for you.
Sam
rubbed
writes in...
What?
Webradio and Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace...
Pac-Man really
hotline.
Gets a kick when I do that.
He says, happy Thursday to you. This is Sam from...
Chicago?
Yes. In the spirit of optimism, can you break down the differences looking forward this season between the Patriots' loss to Miami in 03 and the Buffalo lost last Sunday. Do you think the coaching staff from 03 compared to 2011 is anything to be scrutinized? Do you think Bill's Mangini burn left him not hiring any more strong personalities and he's growing dull? Coach of the year last season was nice, but as you've mentioned, the mental toughness slash coaching leadership needed for the playoffs is lacking of late. And here's a reminder, 03, the offensive coordinator was Charlie Weiss, defensive coordinator was Romeo Crennel, and another notable assistant was Mangini and Josh McDaniels.
Wait a minute, though. But before you go down that road, Mangini wasn't a strong personality. He was a ball boy when Belichick hired him. Josh McDaniels was a copy-making nobody. It's the same approach. Those guys just happened to develop into head coaching candidates due to the success of the team. They both kind of flamed out as head coaches. I don't see the difference. I don't see why Matt Patricia couldn't be the next. If anything, I think Patricia has more respect of his players than Eric Mangini did.
Well, there you go. In the spirit of optimism, you've come up with the answer.
Well, one guy wanted to fire him a little while ago, ripping him for the defense.
Right. But you've
but there's no difference
you've
between...
You've given the optimistic view.
And Bill O'Brien is a far more accomplished coach than Josh McDaniels was. Bill O'Brien was a successful, well, an offensive coordinator in college for a long time.
I also don't know what game we're talking about.
I don't know. I just assumed you'd know.
Loss in Miami.
Is that the bury the ball game?
Oh, maybe that's the game.
They went down there. That was like early in the season, right?
And they buried the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know the particulars.
It was really
of the game.
No, but wasn't that 0-2 that buried the ball game? Because we had won the Super Bowl.
The one thing I turn to you for is a memory.
Well, no, the bury the ball game was in 0-1.
Well, 0-1, okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, Sam, you're going to have to remind us what 0-3
maybe, oh, I bet you I know what. I bet you I know what he's talking about. I bet you it's 0-4. 0-3, I think, was the Troy Brown overtime touchdown.
Catch of the day?
Yeah. Steve Burton. Woo!
Right.
0-4 was the Monday night game that we melted down like we did against Buffalo. That's what I bet you're talking about.
And we stayed behind and came back later by ourselves.
29-28 loss when Brady threw two picks, four picks overall, I think, but two like in the last two possessions.
All right.
The one where he was going down.
Yes. Yes.
Sam says, thanks and good luck with your four-hour show. Besides science fiction, I can only imagine where today will lead.
Yeah. Although luckily Fred's leaving because good fights could erupt in the 3 o'clock hour.
So, you guys will keep up the momentum. You don't need me, do you?
Oh, we don't need you to fight. Eric will drag us down. We're not as good when it's Paul, I, and Eric than with you. You know how that is. You know, sorry.
TG and NJ says, let's see. Do what's best for the football team, right? This weekend, we are going to see Richard Seymour across the line of scrimmage on defense. The Raiders may see Albert Haynesworth or Sean Ellis across from their O-line. Tell me how trading Richard Seymour and signing these old D linemen is what's best for the football team. Tell me how letting Asante Samuel go is best for the football team. I think Belichick can coach him, but he can't pick him. Please, no more genius moniker. Maybe we should get someone else to shop for the groceries. Do you guys think the lack of an off-season program is a major factor with the defensive issues? Would these issues have manifested themselves and been addressed sooner? Okay, I watched the Bills game again. Seems it all came down to the Love and Brown penalties and Ocho's drop. Watching the defense again, yes, they're bad. But I'm not going to go off the deep end and like Andy. I think there is a chance they can get better. Looking at the Raiders, they make a lot of penalties too. Hopefully they will make more than the Pats. Could be a factor in the game. And can we please change the pass interference penalty to 15 yards like they have it in college? This spot of foul thing is just killing the defense. Throw the D a bone, will ya? Ocho is a bust. He's a head case. Always has been. Always will be. Wish they'd get rid of him. One and done, please. Where was Branch in Buffalo? Only good thing about last Sunday was the Jets losing. Last thing. Nice cameo by the PFW boys in the Belichick special on NFL Network. Saw Squidward and Paulie, and now we know Paulie's enormity eclipses even Andy's big head as we couldn't see Andy in the shot.
It's true.
I'm going week to week this season. Can't even think about making the playoffs. Playoffs?
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
I don't know if there's any truth in it, but we certainly posed the theory in August and maybe even in July that post-lockout, while everybody was assuming the Patriots would benefit from continuity in coaching, we posed the idea that they could be hurt by the fact that Bill Belichick is the greatest game plan coach in football, and he had already been admitting at that time he was not going to be able to install as much on defense. The playbook would already be cut down, and they could be hindered by the fact that they wouldn't get the same kind of coaching in preparation for weekly matchups, right?
Yeah.
So that could be part of this.
We did bring that up.
They may not be able to scheme as much as he'd like to scheme or whatever based on the foundation they couldn't lay in the offseason.
And I do think a lot of us assumed that it was going to be offense that was going to be affected. You know, because we thought it was a lot of timing and repetition and execution, but maybe what we're seeing, and this is a broader observation, not just the Patriots, but maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe the defense is the one that needed a little bit more structure and coaching and game planning, and that lack of preparation has hurt them more.
Well, I thought it would be defense that would be hurt because...
Well, then you were right.
When you lack talent, you have to scheme. And we didn't even know most of the talent that's here now was going to be here. So I was just going with, they didn't draft a pass rusher. They're going to have to scheme some pass rush.
You were right.
I don't know if I'm right. They might just stink.
But I wasn't necessarily talking about the Patriots. I meant in general.
No, I'm just talking about the Patriots. They may just be not very good. We may just overrate them. The talent may not be as good. Now, Mayo and Wilfork, okay, even though they're my whipping boy a little bit, you need to step up and carry your weight. They're proven commodities over a relatively long period of time. McCourty is not. He could have been a one-year wonder. That's a possibility. And I don't point to anybody else that I have much confidence. Well, Bodden, maybe. There's not a lot of guys I have confidence in just their pure talent to play football. So then you're saying, okay, we got a scheme. We're relying. And they went to an overhaul of the defense. More man coverage, 4-3 front, more aggressive, moving guys around. That's a lot to undertake in a limited offseason. That could be part of it.
Could be.
That right there could lead to your, it's a long season, let's talk about it in 5-7 weeks from now.
Right.
Okay. We're in trouble when I'm the positive motivational force on this show.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Let's go to the phones. Big Daddy's in Georgia. Hey, Big Daddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
I've been better. They sent those chocolate cookies again.
I have a couple things I want to go over. One, I think we are missing Taylor Price and Aaron Hernandez, especially Taylor Price as a deep threat to keep those guys. So Buffalo started really covering short zones down towards the end of that game. We couldn't get those passes off. And I think Taylor Price, our Matthew Slater, they got to go deep at least a couple of times during the game just to keep people honest.
Well, Matthew Slater was there,
also,
right?
Yeah, Slater. I'm surprised they didn't look to Slater at least once in the
game. They looked to Ocho. He dropped it. Yeah. That was a big play down the field. That would have been a 41-yard touchdown.
It was a big play, but when you have Taylor Price and Matthew Slater, you have to respect their speed, and now you can't really just cover those little shots.
Do you think defenses even know who the hell Taylor Price is for the most part? You think a player would walk on the field and go, oh, my God, Taylor Price on the field. Safety, I got to drop back.
That's the good thing about it. That's a prize factor. We know who he is.
I don't.
Who he is. He's got the speed to stretch the field, and that's what we need.
I know exactly who he is, the guy who's been inactive 18 of his 19 career NFL games.
I understand you guys are hard on players.
That's true.
I understand.
We both really like Taylor Price, but he's not.
And it's going to come soon. It's a long season, and it's a different season. Also, on the defense is not as bad as you guys are making it out to be. They played against two great offenses, San Diego and Buffalo, that is what you're going to see right now is going to be two of the better offenses in the league.
Well, that might be true.
Chances and opportunities to win the game.
Well, Big Daddy, I hope you.
Crazy, he threw four interceptions.
Does he have the mute on?
He still had a chance to win the game. Evidently, the defense must
have been. Should we just continue the show?
What happened? What happened to Big Daddy?
You asked if he had a mute, so I put him on hold for a second. So
how come it seems like they can never hear us anymore?
He's there.
Okay, Big Daddy, you still there? What
he's
happened?
Not there. He can't hear us.
Big Daddy.
No, he was there.
You just cut him off.
No, that's
what
off.
You did.
Nice
I put him on hold.
You thought you put him on hold, but you cut him off.
No, I didn't.
Click was you cutting him
off. No, he was a good caller. I just wanted to get a word in edgewise there.
Sometimes I get the feeling they can't hear us.
Yeah.
I think they can.
It seems like that.
Well, I think what
seems like a production problem.
Taylor Price isn't going to command any respect. Matthew Slater isn't going to command any respect. Now, teams know who they are.
No, but I know they know who they are, but reaction. Oh, my God.
That's my point. They're not going to sit there and say, oh, we got to double. One guy's going to make sure that say, hey, listen, that guy's out there. He's a deep threat. Don't let him get by you. That's how you deal with him. You can't leave anybody uncovered. Anybody could do damage if you just don't cover him. It's like Bill says, you know, believe it or not, Andy, we didn't mean to draw it up like that. Anyway, no one designs a play to have someone uncovered.
All right, let's go with Brian in Brighton. Hey, Brian. Brian?
Am I here?
Yep, you're on the air.
I can hear you guys fine. So
tremendous.
Okay, no. So, quick thing. Kevin, don't ban me for this, but I just think, Andy, have you ever listened to the post-game show?
No. Which post-game show?
Only when we're on it.
Don't do the last one, because Kevin was away with the team, I guess. But the one before that, the ones before that, I'm sorry, Kevin, but when you do the score updates, it is the most torturous thing to listen to.
It happens.
I mean, you must have, you know how they say you have a face for radio?
Yep.
You have a voice for writing or something.
Don't tell him that. He wants to write.
It is true. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, no offense. Again, like I said, I mean, you seem to be doing a good job over there, but I don't
really?
Know. I just prefer...
Must look different from afar.
I think you'd be better off not even bothering to do the the score update. I don't think it's... That I don't think we really need that.
I thought we, and I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but I thought we talked about not doing scores
for your show,
for any show.
Oh.
I mean, maybe the only score that's of any interest to the Patriots fans is the Jets.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe when the Jets fall behind, you take some pleasure in that. But I agree with the caller. You know, anytime anybody wants to make fun of you, I'm gonna obviously agree. So.
True, but the post game show isn't your show, so I did what he asked me to do.
But it's Fred's show. And I'm pretty sure that Fred said no scores.
I didn't.
So if we're going to start getting serious about it.
I never heard that either. So.
You really picked that scab.
You know, Brian's still on the line. But, you know, Kevin, I have to say that the score reading is a little bland.
Okay.
You know,
do you want him to make it more exciting or not do it?
No, I'm not sure that, you know,
like people, that guy that,
hey, we got a big one up in Dallas.
Yeah. No, that one we listened to on the way home, the national guy who he has all these puns
and I hate it.
And I don't know what happens in the game. Like literally he says it and I go, well, who won? Well, who scored?
He plays the role of Andy and Paul when we think of our stories on Wednesday.
I just think that it's
man, I can't use it.
It's an online show. It's like people aren't in their car where they don't have access to any other information. I think people know what the scores are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I agree, Fred. I mean, but I'm not.
And that's what we want critiques of the show because we want
to get better.
People to think that they have input. They do.
We want people to think that they have input.
But they do.
You don't, but we want you to think you do.
What else you got, Brian?
Well, so, I mean, I'm kind of calling about, well, let's be clear about something. I am a homer. I will admit that. I mean, there's a reason why I don't play fantasy football, because all I would do is pick Patriots players. That's it.
Right.
But... I feel like we're hammering on the defense, and it's just in what your guys are saying. But I wanted to bring up those topics you guys have discussed earlier this week in terms of two things, right? Like longevity of Belichick and how much of a genius he really is. Because, I mean, I always thought of Belichick as the mastermind in terms of defensive schemes. And I mean, clearly that's kind of something that's been a weakness for a while for us now. But I'm also thinking back to like the 2001 Super Bowl and, you know, how we beat the Rams with the bumping and knocking them off their routes and everything like that. And how much the league has really just, like you guys went off on a complete tangent earlier this week. Defense just seems dead to me in the league. It's just non-existent.
Well, that's because they've been castrated by the rules.
And can I tell you, the whole
that's
thing...
That's my point.
Brian, the whole thing that we started the show with, trying to get Fred to get us to be a little bit encouraged, I think that the point that you just made is the most encouraging point. Yes, the Patriots' defense is not very good. Neither is anybody else's. And that's the most encouraging thing you could possibly come up with.
Exactly, right? Who is a good defense?
I mean, there's a handful of teams that play better defense than the Patriots.
Oh, wait, that's a positive?
Yeah.
Isn't your head coach a defensive genius and you won when he was able to have a defense?
No, I think
you've
it's
never
the whole,
won since he decided he was an offensive
genius. But like
genius.
Brian's saying, it's like the whole tangent we went on about how you can't play defense anymore. Well, no one can play defense anymore. It's not just the Patriots problem. It's because that's the way the league is. So you might as well have a great offense and see if you can win that way.
That's true. Brian,
yeah,
thanks.
I mean,
oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, just real quick. I really noticed that transition in my opinion in 2007.
Did we
just lose Brian?
No, he's there.
No. What made you know it in 2007?
Well, the fact
just when
when
the Patriots blew it all.
Yeah,
away,
he's right. Brian's
yeah.
right.
And there just seemed to be no defense at that year, and it hasn't come back since.
Well, the difference was they had enough veterans
down.
Still there.
It sure was in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Even all this. You still see scores come down in the postseason. You see the average score.
And when
you're not looking at
34-31,
you're looking at 24-20. No, I think it's the importance of the game. I think defense plays better, whatever.
Pressure.
The referees maybe allow a little bit more. I don't know. But you still don't see a team just go through the postseason winning 45-42, 45,
I agree with
that. But see, what Brian said reminded me of something. You know, he said that, you know, the Patriots, it's too much scheme. Somebody in the know last year told me that whatever they're doing on defense, any success that they're having is all about scheming game to game. And so that gets back to my point earlier. If that's the case, you know, then this comes down to personnel. You know,
wait a minute. I don't know who told you that. I don't want to know. But they were told that by somebody, unless they were Bill Belichick. Right? So they're told that by somebody who's biased.
Sure.
I mean, do you think Gerard Mayo walked up to whoever you and said,
no,
whatever we did on defense, all Bill,
right?
No players involved,
right?
So that's a biased viewpoint. It's not necessarily an objective viewpoint, right?
It could be.
And you get back to the whole question. It's gone on forever. Whether it's Mike Vrabel and those guys, is it scheme or is it players? It's a combination of both. Bill without players is useless, and Bill, I mean, the players without scheme
but
are
what
useless.
I'm saying, if that's true, then why aren't they getting better players? Or are
that's why
they,
it's always back to Bill, because he gets the players.
No, I'm not absolving anyone here.
He shops for the groceries and he cooks
the
dinner.
I'm just saying, are we getting down to the players aren't good enough? You know,
the picking of the players not being good enough is a problem. We talked about it yesterday. In the draft, all those second round picks that should be the foundation of your defense, your depth, everything, have stunk. You haven't developed enough of those guys. You end up cutting them a couple years later. The cornerbacks. Theoretically, shouldn't Darius Butler be a starting corner? Well, now he's in Carolina, learning how to play in Carolina's system. Brandon Merriweather should be your safety. Ron Bray should be up front. You know, these guys just aren't a key part of the team.
This
Jermaine
is
Cunningham.
Something Mike Reese talked about on All Access this week that'll be on tomorrow and be on Patriots.com.
What was that?
I don't know. He never does the horn, so I wonder true the
well,
I,
but
horn.
I was actually talking about something Mike Reese said. I wasn't tooting my own horn.
People know that you were sitting there with Mike Reese.
But just and he, I forget,
rubbing someone else's leg.
I forget all of the different specifics, but he went down all of the things, you know, two first round, just over the last, like, what, 5 years, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, the last five drafts, they've used two first round picks, two second round picks, I think two fourth round pick on defensive backs. And they haven't all hit. You know, as a matter of fact, most of them didn't. That's why your secondary, for the second year in a row, is languishing around 32nd in the league. You know, right now you're dead last, correct? You know, the third downs have improved only marginally.
I think they're 28th.
Yeah, so it's no secret. It's cause and effect. When you let all your other players go, either because they retired or because you decided not to re-sign them, in the case of Samuel, you need to replace them.
Right.
Well, it looks like they replaced one adequately with Chung. It looks like they replaced one adequately with McCourty, although he's struggling badly right now.
Right.
You didn't replace anybody with Butler. You didn't replace anybody with Wheatley. You didn't replace anybody with Will Height.
Merriweather.
You didn't replace anybody with Merriweather. That's a lot of misses.
Yep.
And now that McCourty is struggling, you know, if you're having the same conversation at the end of the year, you might say you didn't replace anybody with McCourty. I don't think you will, because I think he's a good player. I think he's going to bounce back. But that's why we're wondering, where is the scheme? And, you know, it's the players. If, like Andy said, if you don't have the chess pieces to move around. It's hard to move them.
Stephen Albany says, to Andy's point about McCourty being nicked up, the last thing you want is to put him on the injury report. Our opponents will game plan to target him even more than what they do, given his lack of play this far.
I don't think
that's
possible.
Yeah. So.
And like Fred says, they're all hurt, and we know that, right? I mean, once you get a month into football, everybody's dealing with something.
Especially with all the tackles he's had to make.
Nick in Maine, great show so far. I was wondering if you make anything at all of Tom Brady cutting his hair. Would he have if the Buffalo game hadn't turned out the way it did?
Nope.
And do you think Giselle is upset he no longer looks like a Euro Metro? In reality, the news is trivial, but I thought I would try to pull you guys out of the negative track, or at least try. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to another kick-ass pregame social and this awesome extended edition of PFW. Go Pats, F the Jets.
I think he caught wind of my theory that long-haired quarterbacks don't win, and he hasn't won since he's had long hair.
But it is interesting that he and Edelman both cut their hair. Do you think that they just said, all right, new start? You know, these guys do things like that. The linemen grow beards and things like that.
It was interesting that Edelman cut his before the game, though.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But it's still, I mean, I think you wonder if they, I wasn't.
It's in a 4-day window that they cut their
right,
hair.
I wasn't shooting down your thought. I'm wondering if maybe they did talk about it. It's just odd to me, two guys that had a lot of hair.
Right. It's not the first time players got together and said, let's grow something or cut something, you know?
That sounded funny.
That's gross. What exactly do you grow there?
Huh? Derek Burgess was involved
Tom
in that
Brady
meeting.
Never shaves.
You know what? It's funny because I got a lot of tweets as soon as he cut it that my whole theory that long-haired quarterbacks can't win, and now we'll really see. Will he win a Super Bowl? If so, then it's true. And then other people were asking if it was position-related, if only quarterbacks had hair-length issues. And I said, no, the only two positions you can see, because they wanted McCourty to grow his hair out because maybe it would go the other way. And I said the only positions that can play well with long hair are, Paul,
running back.
No, I didn't include that one.
Linebackers.
Linebacker.
Pass rushers and offensive linemen, in my opinion. And then I said, somebody should tell Cunningham.
There's a lot of running backs that have
long hair. Did they maximize their talents?
I don't know.
It's about maximizing your talents.
Well,
oh my God.
You know what?
Tom Brady has played in the league for the last 3 years.
I never want to hear him ever again tell me about my rules.
Right. Name me a running back who maximized his talents with long hair.
I don't know.
I don't know. Steven Jackson?
Steven Jackson? Ricky Williams?
Ricky Williams is a fail because he didn't maximize his talents. Steven Jackson might be a good consideration. I'm not sure, though, if he's really maximized his talents.
Oh, I got one. Lawrence Maroney.
That one really works for you.
Anthony in Toronto says, hey, guys, can you please explain why Edelman played running back? We drafted two running backs in the high rounds, and we have a 1,000-yard rusher. What's the point of not using them?
As I said
I
yesterday.
I think that's a very fair question.
Hopefully it's laying the foundation for something down the road. That's my theory. Otherwise, it's terrible.
I didn't like it, and it's funny. We've seen it now for 3 years in the summer. We've seen him periodically line up, but I've never seen him take what I thought was a traditional handoff the way he did Sunday.
He could be used in the Wildcat. The guy can throw the ball, obviously. He was a quarterback in college.
He didn't throw the ball. He can't throw the ball in the NFL.
Well, he could probably throw it, and out of a Wildcat.
You think Tom Brady hit a guy in the face? He'd hit him in the nuts.
No, you never
know. I don't ever want to see him throw the football, unless it's a trick play.
My guess is maybe
about.
He's your emergency third down back or something, if you get down that low.
Which is something we talked about, if you remember, last year when Falk got hurt, before we picked up Woodhead.
Right.
We thought that he might be a candidate
for that. But that doesn't excuse him getting game reps. I mean, Steven Gostkowski might be your emergency punter. You don't run him out there in the middle of a game to say, well, just in case, I want to get him a rep.
And you also have guys now last year that you didn't.
Right.
Ridley and Vereen were both active on Sunday. There's no need to me to get Edelman a carry unless, like Andy said, you're trying to set some trick play up.
Matt in Virginia says, not sure if someone has brought this up yet, but could Chad handle the work of a defensive back? It took Troy a while, but he was pretty decent. Got to get something out of him.
Oh, I see.
He's a great athlete. In an emergency, sure, he would be one of my guys that I'd throw out there because I do think he's a great athlete, but not now.
508-298-0398.
Right?
Would you hotline?
If you had to pick somebody to go over there, wouldn't he be on the list? He's an athlete.
He's a terrific athlete.
So
there's no question about it.
If I'm looking for a guy, but I don't look for that guy early in the year when everybody is, playing.
Let's see. Let's go to France and Omar.
A Francais.
Oui, hi, oui. Omar.
Hey, guys.
Hey, oui, parlez-vous français?
because I was going to say it.
I'm out.
Okay, so Fred, you're a nice guy, and I was hoping you'd bail me out here. Kevin and the other people gave me crap on Facebook because, you know, I know you like Buffalo. Buffalo's a nice team, and when they went for it on 4th and 14, I somehow wanted them to be successful. So what were your thoughts then?
Why did you want them to be successful?
I don't know. It's a good team. They didn't deserve the beating they were getting and blah, blah, blah. I was cheering loud for our team.
You had pity on them.
That really backfired, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that backfired. And I thought maybe the Pats on the field felt the same way and kind of like slowed down a little bit, and they regretted it. No,
oh, I mean, I don't know. I
Fred
see what you're
he likes Buffalo, so that's why I'm asking him.
Well, I don't hate them as much as I hate the Miami Dolphins and New York Jets.
Yeah, and he doesn't like Buffalo. They'd never won a title, so he never was a Bills fan.
Right. You know, Buffalo, it's hard to hate them. They've never really been arrogant like the Jets or win a lot and beat the Patriots a lot like the Dolphins did. So, you know, the Dolphins are an okay, and the people up there are, you know, folksy people. You know, they're hardworking people with a lot. The cards are stacked against them up there in the Rust Belt. So, you know, I have no problem with Buffalo.
Okay. So,
but I still wanted to kick their ass on Sunday.
Now, should we put him on probation for a week for rooting for the other team to convert a 4th and 14?
Yeah, you must be a tough guy to watch a football game over the mark, because all of a sudden you're like, let's let the other team win.
No, not win, but I mean, you know, they didn't deserve that. 4th and 14, I mean, it's embarrassing if you don't convert, you know.
4th and 14, it's embarrassing if you don't convert. I think it's embarrassing if you let them convert.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't know. I just broke my mind, and people generally
don't let Kevin and those guys get you down on that Facebook
right.
page.
He's an idiot. Yeah.
And then one more thing.
Okay.
Massachusetts, it's just so ugly as far as pronunciation, and it's so tough to spell. So my other request is, if the Patriots win another Super Bowl, do you think we can change the name of the state to New England?
Change the state of name of the state to New England?
Yes. Instead of a name that no one knows how to spell.
How about just Mass? M-A-S-S.
Mass? Yeah, that sounds okay, but I mean, it's short.
Okay.
How about New England?
All right, Omar, you're making me second guess this 1-800 number.
I think we're on a crank call somewhere.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Omar. Omar's calling
Stevie?
All the way from France.
I think it might be.
So, yeah, that's a good argument against having a 1-800
painful 2 minutes
number.
Of my life right there.
Well, you don't have to be mean to him on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be social interaction.
Yeah, it's supposed to be friendly on Facebook.
Yeah, and some guy's rooting against your team.
He just didn't want to see.
I wasn't rooting against my team.
He felt pity on them, you know?
Fred, have you ever felt pity against an opponent that the Patriots have played?
I'm trying to think now. Have I ever?
Have you ever been like, you know what, we should stop scoring and stop trying?
Oh, yeah, I felt like that.
Maybe that
like
Tennessee
that.
Game.
I felt bad for Joe. That's one.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Joe Gibbs that
day.
Oh,
I didn't.
I thought the guy, you know, here's a guy who's in the Hall of Fame.
Me neither, Fred. I'm with you.
Won 3 Super Bowls. I don't think he deserved to have that.
I didn't feel bad.
Why?
Yeah, you know, you come back after 20 years, you think you can coach still. he needed to be shown what was what.
You ever another one with a bunch of rules?
Yeah. It was an evil.
But
it was. No,
I would never say in the first quarter of a game, when it's 14-0,
let's stop trying.
I hope the other team converts here, because you know it's not fair. But
and never once have I thought about changing.
45-7 with a minute and a half left. I don't think you need to pound the ball. You know, throw another touchdown pass to Welker.
Doesn't this
the way
boil
they did
down
to go
one
52-7?
He's French.
That's true.
It all boils down to that.
No retreat.
Offense, Omar.
Retreat. Higgins and Hopkins.
That was the funniest thing you've ever said on this show.
Absolutely. That was big. That was big.
Higgins. It's a one-man race, a one-option race. But
Higgins and Hopkins says, have you heard anything about Vereen?
Saw him in the locker room today.
Yeah?
What do I
oldest looking 20-something-year-old guy I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's got a very distinct look.
Well, he's got
a very
way
receding hairline.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's got a lot of forehead.
And he's shaved pretty much, but you can still see it. What are we supposed to hear? I didn't understand.
Like what his status is. He's ready to go.
He's
just not going to get a lot of carries because there's guys in front of him.
Right, like so, Edelman.
Yeah, he was active for the first time last week.
Ridley cut ties with the Red Sox very quickly. He had a Red Sox hat on last week.
I
today
noticed
it wasn't
that
on his head anymore.
Yeah, well,
Didn't take him long.
Bummer about Bob Sanders. I was hopeful we would take a risk and get him this year, crossing my fingers he wouldn't get hurt. I was right on one thing. He played his last game this season in Foxborough. So happy to have Garrard back. I feel like he's a very heavy King Leonidas out there. And hate the Ravens. Go Ravens. F the Jets.
What the hell?
So he got hurt in the Patriots game?
Oh, Gerard. Gerard.
It's from 300, right?
Talking about the
Gerard.
He spelled it Gerard. I thought the court. Why is he happy to have Gerard back?
Gerard's not back, is he?
No.
He's still out there.
He's out there.
He must have meant Gerard Warren.
Yes.
Yes.
Who is back? Money.
So Sanders didn't play last week. He got hurt against the Patriots.
No lo sé.
Another person from Paris writes in. Petty. Pierre from Paris.
Is he offended?
I don't know. He says, bonjour, guys. Some quick questions for you today. Firstly, where has Shane Vereen been? Another Shane Vereen question. I was expecting a lot more than nothing. Secondly, is this defense worse than last year's? It sure looks like it.
So far.
And thirdly.
Than last year's, than ever.
Give Wes his cash.
2002.
This guy is back to pre-injury form, and he is needed as long as the defense plays like a sieve.
We actually talked about that yesterday, Paul and I upstairs. Great year, obviously, for him to have a contract year, but I think he could be disappointed not only by the Patriots, who aren't going to give him a huge contract. I'm not sure anybody in the league is going to give him. Literally, he's on pace for 2,500 yards, so he's not going to stay on that pace, but he's going to average 70 yards a game for the rest of the way. He's going to end up in the high teens, you know, 1,700 yards receiving probably. No one's going to pay him those numbers. No one's going to give him $9 million a year for 4 years or something. He's not getting it. So I think he's going to be disappointed no matter where he shops his services.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. That's going to be
no one's going to pay him that. I'm sorry. No one. So that might help the Patriots.
Well, you know what? We always say that, and then there's always somebody out there that does.
No chance. 4 years, $9 million will not get a year.
Oh, I was like, what?
Not $2 million a year. That he'll get. But, I mean, am I wrong? Because his numbers are going to be marquee receiver
four
numbers.
Four nines. That's what you think is the going rate? Four nines?
Nine
that's
probably, million
that
a year.
About right.
He won't get the super long one because he's had the knee injury. He's a little older.
Do you get a bonus, or is it just that all included?
You are the least fun hypothetical person ever.
Because I don't think.
What did Antonio Santonio Holmes get?
I don't know.
$55 million or something?
I
and you thought it was a good
was
deal,
50.
And now he's got 10 catches and like 110 yards.
But it's apples and oranges. How many catches do you think he'd have if he was on the Patriots?
A lot.
Right. So, I mean, you can't. It's not the same thing.
Just saying.
And how good would the Jets be without him?
Who?
Santonio Holmes, just being out there. I mean, they needed him. They needed Santonio Holmes.
So they overpaid.
I think Welker can get that kind of a deal.
$55 million?
I think it was five. For 50, I think, or something like that.
Whatever.
But even if it was 55.
I'd be 55, stunned if he gets that.
I'd be surprised if he got 5 years.
Stunned. Because didn't he also, I mean, he was the rule of a half. He got $20 million guarantee or something, right?
Could you see him getting 3 for $30?
A real deal, 3 for $30,
yeah.
With like 15 guaranteed?
Yeah, something like that.
No, not really.
I think that's more likely because of the shorter term. I think that he's going to lose it fast when he loses.
Yeah.
Now, he said all summer, this is the best I've ever felt. He's showing that.
Right.
This is the best he's ever played.
But you're not talking about now. You're talking about 3 years beyond this year.
Exactly. Oh, I know, I think when he hits the wall, he's going to hit it hard. I think when he loses that step, he's going to be thoroughly ineffective.
He's had the injuries.
And
he's
I think
taken
that's what
the
fans
big
are worried about.
He's going to keep taking big hits.
You go back to the documentary. When Belichick is talking about whether or not to play all the frontline guys in that Houston game that he ended up getting hurt in, he said to Bill O'Brien, I believe, we don't need him getting lit up 9 or 10 more times.
And right. He's getting lit up this year.
And he
year.
Gets yep. lit up.
He gets hit
every
hard at least
game.
Once a game. You know, he got hit hard in the Buffalo
so
game.
So that was 2009, they were thinking in those terms.
Yeah.
But he's also important to this offense. Think about what this offense would be right now without him. And
that's
Branch
why I think
gone.
They would give him, they would maybe give him a little more money for a shorter term. I think
would
they
he take
would.
It?
I don't know.
Will he have to?
Should I ask him about that tomorrow? Before he gets the group around him?
Sure.
Pierre.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll pour his heart out to PFW.
Just wanted to dip my toe here, Wes, into the water, the talk about your contract here.
Yeah.
Could you tell me what it would take to sign you?
There's word afoot
Pierre finishes up. He says, as always, great job on the shows, and I want Ridley to have 25 carries a game, as I really don't understand why Belichick didn't keep him in against the Bills at the end. He was killing them. So
I just want to state for the record that I don't want any Patriots running back to get 25 carries in a game as long as Tom Brady is playing.
Who was the last Patriots running back to get 25 carries a game? Did Dillon even average that?
I don't know if he averaged it, but...
No, one or two. I'm talking about average it. You know, you're 20-plus. No one gets that except Michael Turner, and then his year end, I mean, his career ends.
I don't even want to run the ball 25 times.
What do you like? Do you like
it's a time and a place thing to me.
That carries plus completions is his big number?
No, I don't like it. I don't like any of those things.
Ram.
I don't. No, Charlie used to have a lot of that stuff, too.
Talk radio, were we? Ram.
No, I didn't mean... I wasn't to you. What
you poo-pooed it.
No, I'm...
I don't like any of those things. Move on.
What was I supposed to do, Fred? Did he not ask me
a question?
He said, do you like it? And I said, no. And the reason I do is because I think that those things are all circumstantial.
Right.
I don't think that you can take those numbers and just extrapolate that.
It's taking Billy Bean to football.
They have a really good record.
Right, right.
They have a really good record when they win that.
I don't buy it. I mean, I don't doubt it, but you can't go into... I mean, if it was truly that's all it's about, you would go out and you'd say, okay, what's the number I need to hit for carries?
Ding, ding,
I'm just
going
to run, throw all these short little passes to make sure I get my completions. There's my total that I needed to hit. Now what do I do?
Well, you need
now
to
I got
to
find a way to win the game.
We also need to move the ball to have the chance to get the completions on the carries.
No, I understand.
Because if you just do two runs and a short pass and then punt, you're not going to have enough possessions and opportunities to put up the numbers.
And therein lies why I don't like those numbers, those stats. You have to make plays to win games, just like everybody else.
Wow.
Why is that cranky?
I just think it's interesting because he's a guy that I think is least stat-driven. He's the most machismo, football, bang heads, ground-and-pound coach. And he has... It's not like he's the geek. If he were the geek, like, you know, the Red Sox of a coach who had all these numbers, but he doesn't. He's old school about, I'm just going to come at you and snot you. And he's discovered what he believes is a number that is...
Yeah, but
valuable.
I'm not being cranky about it. I mean, I just to
nah,
me,
I don't care about any of those.
I think it's circumstantial. Crotchety. I think you win because you move the ball, and then at the end of the game, you're looking like, oh wow, look, we hit that number.
See what the defense is giving you, and you take advantage of it
through either completed passes or carries.
Oliver writes.
By the way, they are having a really hard time running the football. All of a sudden,
the Jets.
Yeah. The Jets are in trouble.
Well, didn't that start last year, though?
Their production dropped a little bit last year from the year before, but that's to be expected because Sanchez rose a little bit from the year before, and they got a little bit better throwing the ball. But this year, Sanchez is throwing the ball, but they're not running it as well as they did last year, you know, in a complimentary way. Maybe some of that is LT. LT had a pretty good year rushing last year. You got around 1,000 yards, right?
Yeah. I think so, 90.
All right, well,
I know Sean Green has been in and out of the lineup, but they haven't run the ball very well.
We'll take one more call, then we have to do picks before the 2 o'clock
hour. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you why they're in trouble.
We've got to really rush today because we only have 2 hours and 20 minutes left.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Jared is in New York. Hey, Jared.
Hey, guys. Two things real quick. First, I just wanted to apologize. It's not the defense or Tom Brady that we lost the last game. It was my fault. You know, when we were winning 21-0, I posted on Facebook that the game was over.
All these people posting on Facebook,
that's what we want.
Yeah, I already got yelled at by my friends and family, and I actually just got kicked out of my house. So.
That's okay. Fred won't allow me to do the nod anymore.
No more nods.
He's banned me.
And also,
you're not really kicked out of your house, are you?
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But
I don't want any homeless
also listeners. When Bill Belichick called the timeout at the end of the game, I know you guys texted on it a few times, but I had to get into work every time he did. So, have you guys heard anything about that? About why that was called? Or?
He called timeout. He went down there. He called it.
They were waving him off.
They were going to start the clock, and they would have lost 25 seconds. Yeah. Because the play ended technically inbounds, in play, a running play. Once they review it and they decide it's not a touchdown, they're going to reset the ball and start the clock,
well,
and boom.
See, here's what happened. Here's what I think caused the confusion.
His anger.
Belichick ran down there, you know, well outside where coaches are supposed to be, and looking for some type of explanation, and the refs told him, go back. And so then the argument started. So now you're arguing. Finally, Bill gets the answer he was looking for, and calls timeout as a result. But on TV or even in the press box, you didn't know what the argument was about.
Right.
You didn't know if there was something Bill saw that he was trying to, you know, get it, take advantage of. Or, you know, you didn't know what that was all about. So it looked confusing, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. He had to call the timeout because the clock was going to start as soon as they placed the ball. And the argument was just the fact that Bill wanted them to answer the question. They wanted him to go back to the bench.
Right. Which they both were right. He deserves an answer, but he also deserves to stay where every other coach stays.
Right. And that's, and I can understand the referees have had enough of that.
Oh, yeah. And I think they have. I think that is probably something they've talked about, some sort of memo circulated between them. Don't let Belichick walk all over you and go wherever he wants on the field.
But I think after a review, I think, don't you think the refs should be talking to the coaches saying, okay, here's what.
Oh, yeah, and they do. They go to both sidelines.
But I don't think they did in that case.
Well, I think they did.
That's why he ran down.
I believe they did.
Well, I don't know. Then I don't understand why.
I believe it was well after they had announced the review that argument took place. They hadn't even they were ready to put the ball back in.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I don't think he felt that he got a full
explanation. Well, I don't think that had anything to do with it.
All right. Well, Jared, thanks for the call. You got feed that kid, will you?
Is that your kid?
All right. Let's take a break.
Gone. Can't answer.
When we come back, we've got the picks. And then remember, we're going to stay on air, take all your calls and emails because, you know, there's no more Red Sox.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Eric has joined us. So before we go around the NFL with our weekly picks, Eric, what's happening at practice?
Well, some good news and some bad news, as always. One for one there. Returning to practice was Logan Mankins, suffering from some sort of illness, unspecified,
that's good.
Yesterday. Bad news, though, Fat Albert wasn't out there.
No Albert Haynesworth.
Nope. I don't think he likes that name. Yeah.
So
it's a term of endearment.
So what was
everybody
the bad
loved
news?
Fat Albert.
That's
right. He was always the
that's
good
great
guy.
News about Mankins. What was the
it
bad
is.
News?
Oh, being everything but Patriots.com.
I would have gone.
No, I'm actually. I think this is a good thing for the team. Is my point.
I think the real question.
I know
there
what
is,
your point
what's
is.
What's
Paul?
The news?
Don't get all upset.
For it to be news, it has to be new and relevant, right?
Well, he was there
neither
yesterday.
New nor relevant.
It's new that he wasn't there
him
today.
Missing practice, same old, same old.
Yeah.
Well, for it to be, you know, bad news, it would have to be involving a player who has some sort of impact.
So, Fred, are you worried that 92 not out there? 92's not
I
out
am.
There.
I'm a little more worried about 76, 92. Who we expressed some concerns about early that he might have come back a little too soon and, you know, played and then maybe exacerbated the injury that kept him out the first week.
You got to give credit to Paul there. He's been worried about him for 3 years now, and he's finally right. He thought that back injury was going to flare up.
Yeah. Once again, you can be sarcastic. All I said was I'm a little worried about guys. Let's just say, for argument's sake, his career is over. Is that a good draft pick? That you drafted a guy with a back problem, and 3 years into his career, he can't play anymore? Was that something silly to be worried about?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have those same concerns?
What if he starts on Sunday and never misses another game?
Do you have those same concerns about Rob Gronkowski?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I said the same thing to Andy.
All right.
Ask him.
Fine.
Guys that have serious back issues coming out of college don't tend to get better when they're in the pros.
Oh, we got another email from Roger Goodell.
Yeah, but the one difference, it's not about my around the NFL this week, is it? Because I did tell him to keep his memos to himself.
Actually, at the very bottom, there's Jumbo Hart.
Yes.
The big difference for
tell
me
Andy
and
to go F himself.
Gronkowski and Vollmer is, Gronkowski, you got a top 10 talent because of a back injury in the second round. Vollmer,
right.
You got a fourth round pick in the second round because no one else won. You know,
I
have yet to see Vollmer perform at an elite level in the NFL. I've
well,
seen Rob Gronkowski.
Oh. He had that great game in Indy where he just neutralized Dwight Freeney a couple years ago.
Yeah, he did.
At left
as
tackle.
A rookie. Yes, yeah. He did. Yep.
Whatever. I've seen Rob.
Whatever.
So he was the best. Rob Gronkowski is one of, Paul, shoot me down here because I'm not going to say best tight end in football because Jason Witten's better. But Rob Gronkowski is one of the best tight ends in football.
Okay.
He'll be a Pro Bowler for the AFC.
Sebastian Vollmer
easily.
Is not one of the best tackles in football.
He doesn't need to be.
Why not?
Yeah, it'd be nice if he was.
We're just asking him, you know, to be really good.
No,
is,
my
is
point,
he really
though.
Good?
Was asking him to
risk
but
reward.
Is I don't mean to insult you. I was asking you if you felt he was.
At this point, we don't. He is not because he hasn't been able to.
Well, he was a second team All Pro last year.
Yeah.
You don't put much stock in those, do you?
I don't.
No.
Okay. I'm just giving you the opportunity to use that if you.
All
want.
Right.
So no Aaron Hernandez either. He still isn't ready to come back.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't play.
Yeah.
Chung will, I think.
He was back at practice again, second day in a row.
Yep.
Third day in a row, actually, if you count last Friday.
Right.
So it'd be nice to see him on the field this Sunday, yeah.
So they weren't in pads, though, right?
No, shorts and shells. Outside on the lower Revolution.
Black jersey. Field. Rusty Benson black jersey.
No?
I just want to say Rusty Benson.
I know you do.
I asked him about it today. It's a nickname his brother gave him in sixth grade.
Which, what does it have to
do
with?
Look it up
doesn't
in Urban
really
Dictionary?
Mean anything. No, not yet.
You
I
should.
Should. Is
There's
it is
probably
it
a Rusty Benson somewhere.
I find it funny, though, because he treats it as something important. Like, he talks about, we're not accepting applications at Benson University, and, like, he treats it like it's this whole shtick. And
well,
I
he has
that.
To. I mean, that's, what else is
well,
he going to
do?
Let's
be honest. His life is shtick. If he has no shtick, he's nothing.
Is his brother still with the Browns?
I don't know if he's stuck.
All right, we only have 2 hours and 10 minutes, so we've got to hurry.
Well done, Fred.
That's right. It's time to go around the NFL with our weekly picks. Paul, what happened last week?
The Penny had a huge week. That's what happened.
Eric and Freddie tied for the lead at 11-5, followed closely by Andy and I at 10-6. With the spread, Freddie went 8-8. Eric and Paul went 7-9. Andy went 5-11.
You're really bad at this.
For the season.
Because I know football. I know the one-on-one matchups. I'm not a big on the analysis of games.
You're nothing. You ain't got the bookkeeper. You got nothing.
I don't know what that means.
Acting lessons, singing lessons.
No, I was going untouchables there.
Well, I know. But
how about you go with the records?
Eric has the... Well, I was trying to stretch. We have 2 hours and 15 minutes to fill.
The thing you're stretching is your pants. Oh!
Eric, by virtue of your one-game win this week, you take a one-game lead over Fred and I.
Okay.
34-14.
What about me?
No, you'll be in last place.
Taking it up the ring.
Fred and I are 33-15. Andy is 30-18.
Well, you're above 500. That's
with
fine.
With the spread, Freddie continues to set the pace. 23-22-3. The only one of us over 500.
Call me right now, 1-800-FRED-SPREAD, and I'll give you my lock for this week. This is a game that you can move on right now and be assured.
Now, if that isn't a porn site, I never heard of it.
Fred Spread.
Eric is in second place at 20-25-3, followed by me, 19-26-3, and Andy, 18-27-3.
Well, I'm knocking on your door.
Yeah, but I'm doing terribly. I don't understand how I'm 33-15 on the radio and I'm like below 500, losing to the penny in the paper.
Because you keep track of it on the radio and there's actual records in the
James
paper.
James keeps track of it on the radio too, so if you want to check his stats and
James
tell me
in
if they're
Wales,
different.
Yes. PFWinProgress.com?
Correct.
Head on over now if you want to check Paul's math.
There's a lot of good discussion going on there.
Is anybody beating us overseas?
I don't know.
The thing that James is running?
I'm sure.
Why are you sure?
They got to be beating me.
Yeah, there's always somebody that has a great year. None of us are having one.
Eric, you are getting a lot of support over on the message board at pfwprogress.com. They like you in the last part of this show and then staying on with Rook. They think that's a good gig for you. Get a little bit here, and then you really help Rook out in that hour. They like that.
Groundswell
of support there.
Thanks for the support.
You're really coming into your own. It's nice to see.
Thanks. He certainly isn't coming into anyone else's.
See?
I thought for once you would just hold it in.
I was waiting.
Oh, well, yeah. We're waiting.
That is.
You want to start off here? Am I just saying
or
the
maybe
game?
Song. All right.
I don't go your route.
Oh, you don't use a song?
Well, we're waiting.
I'm starting with...
I don't know anybody who uses a sock.
I'm going to start with the 1 o'clock
game. Start the emails now if you've ever used a sock.
You're going to skip over the 4:15 when we get to it.
I'm going to start with the 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, all right.
And I'm going to go to Chicago, where Carolina is taking on the Bears.
Bears by 6.5.
This is a revenge game. Julius Peppers against the Panthers. Greg Olsen against the Bears. A lot going on here.
Did you just come up with that, like, you know, spur of the moment?
He's been thinking about it all week.
I think
it's been
in the news this week.
Oh.
I think.
Or maybe Greg Olsen really have a beef with the Bears?
Hell, I'm coming up with it right now.
Does
yeah,
he?
You're right. I don't know.
What is that?
I think he does, actually.
Well,
does he?
I farted, and then Fred sprayed the orange stuff, so it's a mix of my butt and orange. I am going to go with the best games in Chicago, you said, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears. They'll be given the opportunity to make some plays by young Cam Newton. Urlacher and company will make some plays.
I like the Bears to win as
what
well.
What was the spread?
Six and a half.
Can I take
whatever you want.
They'll cover. I stink at the spread.
Cam Newton's going to try to keep it close for a while, but I think the Bears being at home will win by just slightly more than the spread. Maybe call it 8 points, but I'll take the Bears to win and cover.
I will take the Bears, and I'll lay the points as well. I think this will be a tough one for Cam Newton. Tough environment.
I'm with you. Bears and the cover.
They should have those, you know, those old posters they used to have with all the cool guys and like the little slogans and stuff.
Like Sports Illustrated posters?
Newton's Law. Yeah. And like some cool look.
Like a book and an apple.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
That'd be great.
just because those were after your time.
Yeah. It's not as good as Fred Spread.
It's not as good as just pick the team that wins the title, and that's who I root for that year, and buy a really small jersey that won't fit in 2 years.
All this, we've been talking about the passing game this week, and I just was on NFL.com as we speak.
NFL.com.
And Brian Billick has a story. Is the passing game ruining football? When a Super Bowl winning coach like Brian Billick asks the question, there must be something to it. So I got to read that later.
Next time I care about his opinion, I'll be the first.
Well, in a titular sense?
In a titular sense. What are you doing?
I was giving myself a little bit like a 10-second buffer to not jump in on that one.
Oh.
That's all I was talking about 2 weeks ago when you yelled at me. That's all the point I was trying to make.
No, oh, but no. Please, no. Please, no. Stop.
I don't agree with it. Stop talking.
I didn't say you had to agree with it.
I have to read the article.
But I didn't say you had to agree with me. I'm saying that you made it sound like I was coming up with this cockamamie idea that no one had ever broached before.
I just don't understand how a 35-34 game isn't exciting.
Because there's no defense.
Because
it's
there's no chance for it to be anything but that.
Do you understand
that?
The Ted Nation?
Why is the NBA All-Star game trades? Not exciting?
Exactly.
Let's go to...
He just moves on. If you present him with an actual fact or something of note, and he...
Let's go to the 1 o'clock game.
Let's go
you
to...
Know, that was a good augmentation to the argument. I could have used you instead. You just decided to leave the show for a half hour.
And you guys not bored me to death with that argument.
Let's go to Buffalo at Cincinnati.
Yes,
Buffalo
we should.
At Cincinnati.
Buffalo on the road, 3-0, favored. Can't remember the last time the Bills were a road favorite.
Road favorites.
By 3.
And they have a terrible defense, but it won't matter this week. They'll put up enough points mm-hmm. against the Bengals mm-hmm. to shoot down Marvin Lewis's guarantee of his team improving to 2-2 this week. I take the Buffalo and Ryan Fitzpatrick Offensive Player of the Month on the road over Andy, red-headed stepchild Dalton.
Yeah, this has a similar feel to this Panthers-Bears game we just talked about, where there's a young quarterback going up against... I mean, well, this defense isn't nearly as good as Chicago's, obviously, but I think Dalton will keep it close a little bit early on, but Fitzy and the Bills' offense will be too much later on. It'll be Fitzy, Bills
Sully.
Both ways.
Obi. This is a game that Buffalo... absolutely positively has to win.
So they'll lose?
Or they're just going to be their same old selves. And I know Fred's been telling me all week it's only week 3, even though it's week 4. They have to win this game. You have to follow up a game like that by beating a team that you absolutely should beat. I'm going to put some faith in them, but I don't feel real good about it. I think this could be a definite trap game for Buffalo, and I don't know if they're mature enough to handle it.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Oh, upset of the week?
You know what time it is now, Andy?
Time to root against the Bills?
It's time to start taking the Bills seriously, because right. Fred is intentionally picking against them for a reason.
Yep. Wait, Paul, you don't think that when he looks down his nose through his glasses pregame that Chan Gailey will have the troops fired up for this game?
I just
can't take him seriously with that look.
No, I can't either. I can't take the team seriously. I can't.
Well, I can't either, but I can't take the Bengals seriously either.
Yeah. Tennessee at Cleveland.
Yeah. Tennessee at Cleveland. Cleveland by 1.
Is Peyton Willis?
Hillis.
Not Peyton Willis.
Hillis.
What you talking about, Willis?
I don't think he's playing.
Okay, then I'll take Tennessee.
And he's got strep throat or something? What is he? What's wrong with him?
I don't know. That's what's wrong with him. He's missed 2 weeks with strep throat.
What's he with? Josh Beckett? He can't pitch because he has a sore throat?
I don't know. I thought I heard that he had something like that and they kept him away from the facility or something. Well, I don't know.
Oh, in Cleveland it could be Cleveland. SMARS or whatever. SARS.
SMARS.
Whatever that's.
What are they cooking, s'mores?
No, didn't they have that bad there?
SARS.
They had,
yeah,
they
yeah.
had staph infection.
Staph infection.
Yeah. No, something else though. Not SARS.
Staph. They had
no,
staff.
There's another name for it.
Cleveland Steamer?
I will take
MRSA.
MRSA.
That's it.
You are correct.
Not SARS. That's different.
But isn't that a form of staff, MRSA?
Yeah, I think it is, but it's a well-known one. A lot of high
what?
Schools get I'm just, it.
Why are you looking at me?
No, I'm looking at you for the – we were calling it staff, and he goes, is it a form of staff? Yeah. Well,
no, but it's a common one in
I thought you were making
rooms.
Fun of me for knowing it was a form of staff.
No.
Go screw yourself.
No. Yeah, but it's a little different. You know how it is.
I'll take Cleveland both ways, Paul.
So you took Tennessee.
I did.
Okay.
Because I like running backs with long hair.
Yeah, evidently Chris Johnson's not one of those guys that maximizes ability, Fred.
What does he have, like 12 yards in 3 games? Thanks. Yeah. Maybe if he cut his hair, he'd have
so
more.
That gives him 2,012 yards for the last couple of years. I'll take Tennessee. I mean, I'm sorry. I'll take Cleveland in this game as well. Even though I don't think either one of these teams is very good, I think Cleveland is noticeably better than Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going with Cleveland as well. Detroit at Dallas. Here's a big game.
This should be an interesting game.
Nice 1 o'clock game.
Dallas favored by 1.
Solamente un?
Solamente uno.
Dallas by 1.
I just hope they don't have to call the priest for Tony Romo this week.
To take
last
the
rights.
Detroit Lions on the road to continue
an
early season run here. Calvin Johnson will come up big. And Ndamukong Suh will get your boy Romo out the game.
And they could even get Nick Fairley back. Evidently, he's been practicing. He's ready to return. So
that's a fairly big
I do like the Lions as a team. I like where Schwartz is taking them. This is a game, though, that I'm not quite sure they're prepared for on the road against a very good
team that kicks field goals.
Conference opponent. So I'm gonna take hesitantly take the Cowboys and the points.
Tough game. I am gonna take the Lions, but I kind of agree with Eric. I think this could be a tough spot for them. Third road game, I think. Yeah, out of the first four.
That's all they do is win on the road. You know the Lions.
At Minnesota and what was the other one?
I think they won a road game at Tampa in week one. So this is the third road game.
They're the Lions. That's what they do. Win on the
road.
4 weeks.
And
after not winning on the road for 5 years. Whatever the hell
it was. I don't think Dallas is a great team, but I think this is going to be a tough game for them. But I'm going to take the Lions because I think the Lions are better. And I'm going to bank on that. Dallas coming off the Monday night game, too.
I go with the Lions as well. I love it when Dallas loses, especially at home.
That'd be good for our Patriots if they could lose another game, get a little.
Does Dallas, are all their games at home this year? They built that stadium, so now the rule is that they get to play.
Well, Jerry did say, I didn't build a $1 billion stadium to have it empty in the fall.
It just seems
you know
like
what I
always...
You know what I love about Fred? When he has his little bee in his bonnet, they did open up with two road games. If the Patriots had to open up with two road games, my God, there would be an inquisition.
Like when we had to play at Indy for all those years?
Right.
That wasn't me.
No, not you.
Dallas opened up at the Jets, and then they went to San Francisco, right?
It's a joke.
No, I'm asking. I was asking.
No one sucks the fun out of a show like
this.
Here's where he gets mad.
Pittsburgh at Houston. Pittsburgh at Houston. Are the Houston Oilers the team we thought they were?
No, they don't exist anymore.
No, they're the Tennessee Titans. They're not the team we thought they were.
Right. Why do you guys suck all the fun out of the show?
What's and your stops?
Houston by four.
You suck the air out of it, and he puts the air back into it.
That's right.
What? And we let him off the hook.
Houston. Just so everybody knows, Andy continues to fart in the studio, and Frank continues to squirt orange spray at him. Houston by four.
Don't encourage them. They'll ask for that video camera again.
Paul Perillo
learned
a lot about his Houston Texans in defeat last week.
I did.
Well, you know what? I think he's going to learn even more this week because I think the Pittsburgh Steelers go on the road and get the job done. Mendenhall will be ridiculous.
You're still on your knees for that team, huh?
Fred spread on your knees.
I like
really,
the
clean it up a little.
Eric coming into his own.
Jeez.
I like the Texans to bounce back this week. They showed some heart coming back and taking it to Houston, even though they didn't come out with the victory. Taking it to New Orleans without coming out with a victory, but I think they bounce back against this team this week, and I'll take them.
I am going to take Houston, but only by a field goal. I think they win on a late field goal, so I'll take Pittsburgh to cover, Houston to win.
I'm with you, Paul. I like that. Next is...
Can't tell you how good that makes me feel.
Sunday at 1.
Quick interrupter. Did you hear you know, the fight yesterday you brought up to me, the two Philly reporters?
Philly? Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
there was
two
a fight.
Reporters got
two
got
Philly
fight.
Reporters got in a fight.
They got into a twisting match the day before, and then the next day came to blows.
Really?
The old coot banged him up a couple times. But apparently...
The old coot started it?
I think so.
Wow.
I don't
That's
know for
not
sure,
right.
but I think so.
Because if you're the old guy and you throw the first punch, the young guy can't punch you back.
Well, it doesn't sound like anybody likes the young guy, everything I've read online.
Well, certainly it seemed like the old guy got really mad at the young guy quickly.
Yeah.
That really escalated.
Yeah, but after the fight, it was open locker room period, and apparently Asante Samuel was running around yelling, "Where's Les Bowen at? Let's get a rematch in here!" And he's just yelling. And like Michael Vick was like on camera doing a live thing, and he just starts laughing. Can we start over? Because you can hear Asante yelling in the background.
Trying to well, if you were a man, I would punch you. I'd punch you right in the mouth.
So this old guy beat up a younger guy? Or
yeah, it looks like probably
sucker punched him or something?
Late 50s to mid 30s or maybe
the young guy
early
tweeted
60s.
Out that Michael Vick was definitively going to play.
Yeah.
And the old guy tweeted out, "I think he's going to play as well, but nobody knows that right now." Basically, he's saying,
you're
just throwing stuff
statement.
Out there
right.
and you're making it up.
Right.
So he called him out.
Right.
And the other guy got all mad, and then
the other guy pulled an Andy Hart, and it really, he's like, just for the guy who's never broken a story, whose editor has to blog for him to keep it relevant in this town, like, he just rattles off these, like, five.
I think
it was
I
one
have
of those
that
tweets
right.
yeah, that went,
continued.
Like, yeah,
it was
dot,
like,
dot, dot,
it was like
dot,
three,
dot.
It was three, like, full 140 character tweets.
Wow.
Apparently, the old guy's got a little Borges in him and came in swinging the next day.
Just all like, I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him out in the city.
Okay. Just so you know, 20-plus years in the business, never gotten in a fight with a colleague.
It'd be interesting to monitor
Money, women, and toys are us,
how many fights have started
because of social media. You know, this fun, friendly.
I'm surprised
platform.
Andy hasn't gotten into more of them.
But yeah, because what ends up happening is
I've been told
when we
not
make
to.
Our sarcastic comments about each other and the other writers, they're not, people are now putting those sarcastic
right.
comments on Twitter.
Right. Well, I noticed that even strippers, you know, he always tries to get us in trouble. And yesterday, and
luckily,
I think still the Patriots iPad app was higher than the Yahoo Fantasy in the iTunes sports category.
Mm-hmm.
Strippers, who wrote to Mike Silver, who writes for Yahoo, said, is it true that the Patriots Daily is, because MEDNA said it on their show, you know.
The strippers needs help, but he can continue to buy us lunch if he likes.
Especially on his birthday. Can you imagine how a man who books strippers for a living celebrates his birthday?
I'm just saying.
And why didn't
Fred spread?
I got on him a little bit, though. Why didn't he come up with that bus idea? Did you see that in Detroit? Where somebody had started a stripper bus that pulls up near the stadium and you can come in and get lap dances. And
love it.
Well, the police are trying to now ban it, but that's ingenious. Why didn't strippers do that here at the Garden?
Yeah, I guess you have to be in a zoned area to do that type of stuff, right?
Why?
Because it's adult entertainment.
It has to be. I think Fred's right there.
Yeah.
They're always ruining fun.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
New Orleans at Jacksonville.
Can't get to the strippers? We'll bring them together.
Nollins at Jacksonville.
New Orleans by 7.
New Orleans?
Yes, New Orleans by 27.
Everyone's taking New Orleans. All right. Minnesota at Kansas City.
Oh, the debacle that is.
Minnesota by 1.5. Did you know, Andy Hart, that the most halftime leads blown of 10 points or more in a season is 3 by one team?
The Vikings?
The Vikings have already done it 3 times.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
In the history of football, it's happened 3 times to one team where they blow
a 10-plus
point lead at the half. And Minnesota's done it in each of the first 3 games.
You think we have problems in New England.
It does say illness for Peyton Hillis on the NFL.com Wednesday practice report.
Peyton Hillness?
I see what you did there. I didn't like it, but I saw what you did there. I will take the Minnesota Vikings.
No stamp of approval there.
No.
Because I am rooting for the debacle that is Kansas City, and I'm rooting for
Matt Castle.
Rumors of the internet to be true and Kirk Ferentz to take over as the head coach
of
the KC Chiefs.
Really?
That would make sense.
I like him. He's a nice man.
Ooh.
So I don't know why I'd want him to go there then.
I am.
Doesn't
I'm going to.
Make any sense. Yeah.
What's the number again, Paul?
Minnesota by one and a half.
I'll take the Chiefs too. I know they laid an egg at home against the Bills, but I don't like the Vikings and McNabb. I don't think they can do the same thing.
They're two sucky teams. They're two teams that some people probably thought were going to be pretty good.
I'm going to root for the guy I like better, and that's Matt Castle. So I'll go with him.
And I'm going to take the Chiefs,
sucky,
too.
Sucky.
I think for the same reason. I think Castle bounces back. He's been really bad so far, but I think he bounces back. And
did you see him making fun of him the other day because he threw a bad pick? Then he got to the sideline, tried to put his hat on, and he like missed, and it fell off the back of his head.
Yeah,
you got to come on,
yeah,
man.
He was
did you see the? Did you see
days.
The?
Yeah.
Did you see the game losing interception that he threw on a screen?
Yes.
That's just poor to me.
Yeah.
You think he stinks?
This is.
I don't think he stinks like that.
I think Minnesota wins this game because I just don't think Kansas City has anything.
They're done.
Left on offense. Although Adrian Peterson is. He's bitching about not having enough carries in Minnesota. I don't know what's going on there exactly.
Did you see strippers getting a fight with guys about AD or AP?
But
going all the way back to Oklahoma.
I think Minnesota has a little bit more to offer right now than Kansas City. San Francisco at Philadelphia.
Philly by 8.5. Vic guarantees that he will play.
Doesn't mean he'll finish.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. With all the... interesting, by the way, that we were talking about Andy Reid yesterday in our Belichick question. Could Andy Reid be out? And the first question on Adam Schefter's mailbag on ESPN.com, Reid's future in Philly. And it was about if the dream team doesn't make the playoffs,
right.
Could he be out?
Right, and
I was like, son of a, we're listening again.
But that would be valid to me if they didn't make the playoffs.
What, if they just go 10-6 or something and don't make the playoffs?
No. I mean, you know what I mean.
I mean
they're not that good, and they don't make the playoffs. This is a team that's loaded. Supposed to be a loaded team.
Is it loaded?
They're pretty good.
For Bear?
From a talent perspective, they're pretty good.
I don't know. I think they're talented, so that's why they're going to win, and they're going to beat the Niners, because the Niners aren't that good. What's the spread?
8.5.
Unbelievable.
8.5.
Yeah, they'll cover.
I will take the Eagles to win, but give me those points, too. I don't think that I don't think Philly's that good that they can keep the Niners.
3 defensive touchdowns.
Paul?
I am going to do what Eric did. Philadelphia, I'll take the points. I think the Niners' defense has played pretty well so far.
Yeah. I'm right with you guys. I'll take Philly and the points. Washington at St. Louis. This
Why
is
do you
the
have to make fun of everybody?
Final 1 o'clock game, Washington
Thank
at
you
St.
For the
Louis.
Washington by 1.5 over the winless Bradfords.
And that's truly what it is. No, but that's truly what it is. They are the Bradfords. There's no one else on that
team. Wouldn't be winless.
What? You can't do it alone.
What's wrong with St. Louis?
They stink. They don't have
talent.
Enough talent. He's got nothing around him. He's a one-man show. One-man
band. He wouldn't be winless.
If you were special, you wouldn't take Jason Smith with the third pick in the draft or whatever the hell they wasted that on him. You knew he was going to stink. He stinks. It's your fault. It was a bad pick. You can't waste first-round picks when you're trying to rebuild. Bottom line is, I'll take the Redskins.
Yeah, I will too. For all those reasons. Rams have no talent, and Washington is just good enough to win on the road.
I will take St. Louis.
Fred's struggling.
I do.
He's yawning.
I do think that the Bradfords are a little, he's got a little special quality to him. I do think he's pretty good.
There's no doubt
in
my mind.
And Washington road Monday night game, bad spot for them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Washington. I just think there's something wrong with St. Louis. Andy says it's talent. I don't know. I'm not sold on their head coach.
Oh, I'm not necessarily sold on him either. But
you know,
don't know enough about him.
He looks like a deer caught in the headlines.
He didn't in Phoenix.
In the headlights and the headlines.
Deer caught in the headlines.
Yeah.
I like that. Nobody else caught that at first.
I caught it.
I caught it. Giants at Arizona.
Just chose to go with it.
Yeah.
4 o'clock.
No, he corrected himself. What do you want? I don't really see the need to beat up on the man. What's the game? Giants, Arizona? Giants by 1.
Giants by 1 at Arizona. I don't care for Arizona. I've always stated that Cobb is overrated, so I will go with the New York Giants to win on the road. What's the number? 1?
1
and cover.
And a hay, right?
One.
Oh,
one.
Just 1? I don't know why I do this every year. There's a team that I know is bad, but I end up picking them more often than I should, and I'm going to do it again this week. I'll take the Cardinals at home. I just am not fully convinced yet that the Giants are that good a team.
Yeah, I like the Giants. This is one of those games that they'll turn it over 7 times and lose by a field goal, but I'll put my faith in Eli Manning.
Why?
Yeah. Me Giants. Too. I'm going to go with the Giants. Atlanta at Seattle. I guess this is a layup for Atlanta.
Atlanta only by 4.5.
I'll take Atlanta to win and cover. Seattle stinks.
Yep.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Yeah, I'll take Atlanta, too. Seattle stinks, but they won last week.
We'll make it unanimous. Denver hosts Green Bay. No, Green Bay hosts Denver.
Which one is it?
Green Bay is at home, and they're giving 12.5.
All right.
Oh, boy.
What? What did I say?
You're very impatient.
Me?
Yes. Well, when you're stumbling, a hole's home.
That was him.
Blah, 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 blah.
I will take Green Bay to win and cover. That's a big number, but I'll lay it with them. They can put up points, and I don't like Denver.
I'll take Green Bay to win, too.
And cover.
Freddie, that thing's awful, isn't it?
What?
That computer.
Timed out, that's all.
Paul, give me the points. Something tells me it'll be only about a 10-point win.
Yeah, you can have the points. I'll take Green Bay, and I'll lay the points. I think Denver is wretched. And Green Bay... It just seemed like they haven't really hit their stride yet, even though they're undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
I think they put it together soon.
Tell me again why they won't go undefeated.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, no, you said it about the 2-1 team.
I'll go with Green Bay as well, and they will cover.
When was the last time you had any analysis?
I don't need to. You guys do all the analysis.
And,
all right.
And he also doesn't like this.
Now, listen, we're going to skip over... New England at Oakland. We'll go to Miami at San Diego, Sunday 4:15.
San Diego.
Go yourself, San Diego.
Miami at San Diego.
Chargers by 7.
As much as a boost as I think Steve Slayton will be to the Miami offense, I'm still going to take the Chargers because they're the better football team.
Oh, much better team. Yeah.
I was being sarcastic about the boost as well.
Yeah, San Diego lays it on Miami this week. Chargers didn't play very well last week either.
Well, no. Gates is out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still better than Miami.
Yeah.
Why not?
And I think Sperano gets fired soon.
Yeah, that Miami Dolphins franchise is in trouble, huh?
Yeah. That's what happens when you try to make it about entertainment instead of football.
They have too many celebrity limited partners.
Well, their focus
is entertainment. I was thinking they don't have a good quarterback and coach, but okay.
I mean, that's part of the problem. That's why they don't have a good coach.
I don't want to tell Stephen Ross how to do business.
About how,
but the best way to put asses in the seats is to win games and be a championship football team. I don't think there's any place proven that better than here. If you win, they will come.
That's right. San Diego rolls over the Dolphins. This is the Sunday night game.
Bum, bum, bum.
Jets at Baltimore.
Waiting all day for a Sunday.
Baltimore by 3.5. And this is why that loss the Jets had last week was really, really, really bad for them. They're going to go on a 3-game losing streak.
Where's the game?
Baltimore.
I will take Baltimore to win, but I will take the points. I think this is going to be a dogfight, and I'm going to say that Baltimore wins by a field goal.
It is going to be a dogfight.
So you'll take the points?
It's going to be one of those Ray Lewis speech games, Paul. It's going to be a Sunday night. Paul, it's going to be against a good AFC East team.
Andy and I will be just about done with our stuff, ready to settle down for a long winter's nap, waiting for you to come home.
I will take Baltimore to win and
cover.
Fat man on the sideline got fancy feet. Well, let me tell you something.
Okay.
Really beautiful feet.
I think just like Andy.
That's being a jackass.
I think Baltimore wins by a field goal, perhaps a late field goal. This will be one of those games that everybody says there's no more defensive games. This will be one of those low-scoring games that's going to be dull as dirt.
I think Baltimore wins and covers.
Wait a minute. So you don't like no-huddle shootouts, and you don't like low-scoring defensive battles. What games do you like,
Paul? 14-14.
The ones in between.
Overtime games.
And I don't mind a shootout.
And he claims he doesn't have rules, but you can't score too many or too few.
Every game has to be 24-21.
He's like, he likes Goldilocks games. They have to be just right.
Just right.
I don't mind an occasional shootout. I just don't like when every game is a shootout. Like last week, New Orleans won 40-33. That's fine. But when there's six of those like they were in the first 2 weeks, that's not fun.
All right.
Rule 127, subsection A.
Monday night.
Again, you don't have to agree with me.
Monday night, Indy travels to Tampa Bay.
Tampa by 10.
I will take Tampa to win
at home. The Colts suck.
But I will take those points. I don't feel confident about Tampa even winning the game. Never mind winning by 10. Who's playing quarterback for the...
Is it Painter?
Yeah, I think...
I would assume
Painter. They were thinking of benching Collins.
Well, he got a
concussion.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll take them to cover. I don't have any confidence in Curtis Painter. I don't have any confidence in the other guy either, though.
That'll
win
probably be the win and cover. Tampa
Collins,
Bay.
I would have taken the points.
I will take Tampa, but I will take the points. This is it for Indy. Like, I thought Indy played a really hard game last week. They gave it a good effort. This will be the last. If they get blown out, this could definitely be what Andy and Eric are talking about, and that'll be it.
And then it's Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I'll see if they can squeeze out a
cover. Me too.
I don't think Tampa's that high powered.
I think Indy's defense rises up. They have pride. They'll keep it close, but Tampa Bay wins.
Didn't they just put a couple starters on
Melvin
IR?
Bullitt and Gary Brackett. And by the way, look for that in Indy. Not just because guys that jump ship and they go on IR, but I think Polian will do it on purpose. It's almost like you save your players for next year.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right, now we go back to Sunday, 4:15.
You took the points, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
New England at Oakland.
Pats by 4.
I think the Patriots are a better football team. I think they got a little wake-up call last week. I'm not sure it'll work out the same way it did last year with the Cleveland game everybody's pointing to. But the bottom line for me is I don't like Jason Campbell. I don't think he can put a lot of plays on the board through the air. I think this defense right here in New England is susceptible to plays through the air. I wouldn't worry about that too much, save for one massive play that you can get up a hiccup. If you can hold Darren McFadden somewhat in check, you can't let him run for two bills. I think you're going to put up more than enough points against a terrible Oakland defense as long as Seymour doesn't kill Brady. And I don't expect they'll let him. So I'll take the Patriots to win and cover somewhat comfortably by the Bay.
I think we have to get used to seeing high-scoring close games with this team every week. I do feel a little bit better about it, though, because of how badly Brady ended up performing in the second half of last week's game. I don't see that happening 2 weeks in a row. And I give the edge to the better quarterback. Obviously, that's Tom Brady. So I'll take the Patriots. they'll win by seven. So yeah, I'll give me the lay the points too.
Yeah, I don't think this game is going to be close for the reasons we talked about early in the show. I just don't feel like Oakland offensively has the firepower to get in that game that Eric's talking about. Even Buffalo, who I'm not a real believer in.
Hold on. Will you just stop that? Jeez. You can hear that through the microphone. I didn't think you could.
You can.
Wow. He is just mad at you.
No, it's just annoying.
I thought it was because he farted again.
No, hey, I haven't in a while.
Yeah, I think the Patriots win 38-21.
Wow. That would be great.
You can't beat the you can't match score with the Patriots by running the ball. Well, I think they will run it well.
Yeah.
But eventually you fall down two scores and it's Jason Campbell's game. And Andy, what happens?
You lose.
You lose.
Because what does Jason Campbell do?
Stink.
Right.
Here's what I
usually
think about this
he stinks.
Game. Patriots win the game. They win it by three only.
Wow.
And believe it or not, this is a game that Paul likes because it's going to be low 20s. the Patriots.
He's just such an ass.
This game is going to be in doubt because the Patriots are going to get bogged down in this game.
Literally by the new turf that they've installed there?
It could
there.
Be. But,
Oh, I got to change my pick. I forgot about the turf. I don't know. But we'll see what it's like when we get there.
I think the Raiders give them trouble, and I think that, you know, we're going to be very frustrated watching the Patriots' offense in this game. And we won't have much relief about the defense because Campbell will make mistakes and will, you know, credit his mistakes more than the Patriots' defense by the end of the game. But Patriots do win at 24-21.
If you thought I was negative this week, if the Raiders bogged down this offense, the sky will be falling next week. You'll be hearing that coming out of my mouth. No question. Because that's not a very good Raiders defense. And if they bog down this offense,
yeah, but sometimes,
then I will not be sold
Campbell
on.
Doesn't make a lot
it's only
of
week
either.
Four.
Sometimes it's about matchups. And, you know, sometimes some teams can, you know, do that.
Not the Raiders. Not with that lack of talent.
So just out of curiosity, yeah. And I'm not being a little, you know, argumentative like the
I'm not being
the
argumentative.
One.
I'm being factual.
What is it about
and actual?
You're what is it about Oakland that you think will lead to the bogging down?
What was it about Cleveland last year? I don't know. It's just a feeling. I
think
have.
Cleveland
yeah, but
last
I predicted
year was familiarity with the coaching staff.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
You could chalk it up to that, but at the end of the day, the players are the ones that have to execute it. I think that, you know, Seymour might have lend some familiarity and give this guy. He's the leader of that defense or one of them, and sometimes that kind of, you know, that rubs off, you know, when he really shows some extra oomph that week in practice, it rubs off to the rest of the team. I think their defense is going to rise up and make it a tough day for Tom Brady.
Okay.
Then I'm really not going to buy you. This team will be fine by week eight. If in week four they're struggling with the Raiders, they will not be fine by week eight.
Well, I think you don't make broad strokes like that. I think that it's just one of those games that they get bogged down a little bit.
But wouldn't you expect them to play a much, much better game this week after last week? Isn't that generally what we've come to expect for the Patriots?
That is correct.
So if they didn't, I kind of agree with Andy. I think it would be more alarming to me if they follow up a sloppy game in Buffalo with a sloppy game in Oakland.
And I don't blame you for feeling that. See, I expect it, so I won't feel bad coming out of this game.
I'm sorry. I think they're a pretty good football team. You expect them to stink, apparently.
Listen, Andy, it's the NFL. You don't roll over teams every week and just roll out of bed and win games.
If you're the best offense in football going up against one of the worst defenses, yes, you do.
I think every team has tough games throughout the season, you know, no matter how
good they had theirs last week. If you have two in a row and three in a row, then you're not a very good team.
No, that's not the case.
Yes, it is. If you put losing streaks together, you're not a very good team.
Yeah, well, they're not going to lose, for one thing. Second of all,
if they're in a three-point game, they could.
Sebastian
Janikowski can kick a 70-yard field goal.
I think a lot of good teams have tough games in a row, you know, and end up winning Super Bowls. You know, so I think you know you're a little bit too much. You know,
they're bad.
Acting like a Nancy.
No, they're bad.
No,
do you think the Bills are a good football team?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think the Bills at the end of the year will be there. I don't think they'll be winning the AFC East.
Well, I think they're a much better Bills team than we've been facing in the last...
If they end up being a good team in the AFC East, it's an indictment to me on the Patriots and the Jets.
Probably.
The Patriots and Jets have 1,000 times more talent than the Bills.
Okay, and I also don't think Oakland's going to be there in the NFC West at the end of the year. So you're losing to two non-playoff teams or losing and then dogfighting with another.
I think the Bills probably will have a losing record against, you know, at the end of the day against the Jets and the Patriots. But probably, you know, they could still be a pretty good team this year, you know? So
you expect
all right, well, that's going to be it for this portion of the show. We're going to keep going.
Kevin just gave you a really bad look.
I have to get
I have to get
time.
Oh,
by
is
the
it?
Way, you have to read emails. Can you read emails?
Yeah.
Or are you going to take the show off and write?
Eric.
I yeah,
2:23.
Yeah.
We're going to reset now.
If you can't,
are you guys going to be here?
No, we're staying.
No, we're leaving. Then yeah, I'll read. If
okay.
We're all going to be here.
That would be fantastic.
So Fred, I get a question.
That would be great. Right,
Eric's going to put on his corduroy jacket, get his pipe stoked up, and his reading
glasses.
He'd
like to get his pipe stoked. It's been a while.
And is there a way
that's a good point, Andy.
Is there a way that we can take
God?
Is there a way that we can take the emails and bind them in leather? For Eric, so he can.
I have many leather bound
books. Out of a leather bound book.
Can we make them smell of rich mahogany?
Ready, I got a question for you, though. Do you want me to, like, wrap this as one podcast or just make it one big one?
Oh, that's a good question.
You want us to play the, playbook open?
See, I don't know if
after
any, if I don't know if people
when we come
might,
back.
Now we're so far into
download
it,
a 4 hour.
Yeah, why don't we
break it up into a,
yeah,
another
and,
one?
And,
so a 2 hour 25 minute one, and then start, a 1 hour 40 minute one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we break now?
Oh, but we'll come back at 2:30.
Yeah.
And then re-rack and have this to open a playbook. We can
Chinese
step inside
dentist?
The playbook
yeah.
with
right.
Eric Scalavino.
All right, guys, have a good show. And as far as PFW in progress goes, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.